Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, number 209.
209?
209.
I know, it is crazy, isn't it? What's crazier is that I'm Dave and I'm filling in for owner Colin McMahon.
He's not even gone a few hours and you forget his name. That's horrible.
That guy, he sat there in that
chair.
That
dude.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. The guy wears the red shirt.
Moment of silence.
Well, that's not getting any better because red shirt guys never make it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm just filling in for the intro here. Hopefully Adam will bail me out of this horrible situation.
Just say what podcast, you said the number, right? All right, you said who you are.
I'm Dave. It's podcast number 209. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
Not Colin. He's in Portland. He just landed in Denver. He'll be getting to Portland around midnight our time, in time for a party there with Colin Bunn and Gail Simone.
I don't know. Where would you rather stay, Denver or Portland? And Denver sounds pretty nice.
You know, I've heard both places are pretty awesome.
Really?
Like, I've had coworkers who went to conferences in Denver and have raved about it.
Uh-huh.
But then I also hear Portland's fantastic as well. So I think either way, you're kind of winning.
There's a million comics professionals who live in Portland.
Tons,
yeah.
Tons of studios there. Okay. Yeah.
That's why I think they do. Bendis is there,
Bendis
too, right?
is there.
Nobody
and
Well, yeah, he's never a friend of the podcast anymore.
But that's where Comics Pro is every year, right? Portland?
I thought it switched every
I forget.
Time.
One of them
Diamond
fluctuates.
Summit switches.
Yeah, okay. Diamond.
That was in Baltimore.
Yeah,
I think
Comics
Pro is always
in Portland.
And Colin raves about it every time he comes back. He loves Portland. Although I don't think he sees more than the inside of the boom bus. And
and he doesn't even remember what happened on it.
The boom RV.
I think that's a better name for it.
Goes around for a drive and gets kicked out after.
I'll give you $50.
So, what do we got for news, Pat?
I got some news. I'm assuming you guys have not seen Deadpool yet.
I did see Deadpool.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my brother and I went on Sunday. My wife was, she belongs like this club, and her and this other woman were hosting a fundraising party on Sunday. It was supposed to be at this woman's house. Well, then the power went out at their house Saturday night, so we had to quickly shift it to our house. So I stayed home to help her get ready all morning, stuck around long enough to eat a bunch of delicious food, and then left
and Pop Smoke
after an hour and met my brother to go see Deadpool. And the theater was pretty packed. For a Sunday 12:30 showing.
It made $150 million, which no one expected. They were tracking it for like $60 million. It more than doubled it.
It changed some stuff at Fox, too, because they were talking about a Wolverine
rated R.
Yeah.
And I remember Colin was saying he thought rated R would kind of hurt it, that it wouldn't bring the money, but...
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't see
Hell that. Held an open weekend, and the theater I was at, they actually had people posted outside the doors because kids were trying to sneak into the movie.
Okay. Where'd you go see it?
Phoenix and Bridgeville.
In Bridgeville, yeah, that's where I saw it, too. I really enjoyed it, and admittedly, I'm a Deadpool fan, and that was exactly what I wanted to see on screen. Like, the fourth wall breaking. I won't get into the details.
Colin said a few here at the store. He was talking about it, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty clever. I mean, some of them were.
It was good, especially the intro credits.
Yeah, from the opening credits all the way to the end credits. The Scotty Young-inspired end credits.
Yeah,
I
love the Easter eggs in the beginning.
Yeah. There were parts of the movie where I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
See, I laughed throughout the movie. I thought the whole thing was funny. Nothing really made me, like, laugh out loud.
The end credits made me laugh that hard. Like, I couldn't stop laughing at that. But, yeah, I mean...
I love the end credit scene.
The after credit scene, yeah. Which... I guess I got to spoil it. It was a send-up of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where if you've ever watched the end and... It was like one of the first movies I think that did the after credits thing.
Yeah.
It's like, go home, the movie's over.
Yeah.
Well, it was Deadpool. He was in the same robe.
Yeah.
But he was wearing a mask.
Did you see they have a petition online right now to have Deadpool host Saturday Night Live?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think he would do it.
I think he would be pretty clever.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If they don't do that.
I feel like Ryan Reynolds would do anything as Deadpool.
Yeah.
Even without a paycheck.
The thing is, Saturday Night Live might need something like that to, like, boost its ratings a little bit. I think that would do it.
The show is not what it used to be.
I mean, no, they couldn't do exactly what the movie did with anything, but they could have fun with it if they did it the right way.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, it wins. It's like the highest. I mean, it's the highest rated show.
I'm kind of amazed because every time I watch it lately, it's not that good.
Yeah. I'm not saying quality has anything to do with
it. Once in a while, there's like a skit that they'll do that I'll see online that I'll laugh about, but like... Otherwise,
a good skit here and there.
The undercover boss thing with Kylo Ren. That was okay.
That episode was actually good.
They
really
always
funny.
Do all during election year whenever they can do the parodies.
Yeah,
having Larry David as Bernie Sanders is a good episode. Perfect.
And I guess I don't know if that's happened yet, but Bernie Sanders is supposed to be on it with him.
It happened.
As they've done that, yeah. So no, there's not a lot of Saturday Night Live that I don't like purposely tune in for it anymore. Yeah. Like that's a problem with it. But that would be cool though, seeing Deadpool.
Yeah,
that'd be different.
I'd like to see that. No, but I kind of along those lines. Obviously, they already announced Deadpool 2, and they said Cable will be in it.
Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang, yeah, wants to be Cable, and he looks a hell of a lot like Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think he's too old and not big enough. Like, Cable was pretty jacked.
Did you see him in Avatar?
Yeah.
He looked pretty jacked in Avatar.
And he posted a picture of himself in the gym. I mean, it's not that he's small, but when I think Cable, I mean, I'm thinking he's, you know, two guys wide as opposed to...
Well, that's because we're thinking of Rob Liefeld and proportions
on him. Okay.
You're comparing his muscles to the pouches, and that's why his muscles
are
bigger.
I just didn't see enough pouches in that picture of him at the gym.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of pouches in the depth, and somehow we saw his feet.
There wasn't just conveniently placed smoke or shrubs or something?
I don't know, I think that he could do it. I think if he was training for the role, he could get pretty jacked. He's 63, so he's not...
No, I mean, and it's going to be a fast-track movie. It'll be out by 2017, so it's not that big of a deal. I mean, hell, they released the test footage, and, like, within a couple weeks, they were shooting the movie. You know, it got greenlit, and it went. So it's certainly possible that they can get it moving fast.
Bleeding Cool... Was it Bleeding Cool that was pushing Nathan Fillion for Cable?
I read that somewhere. I like the Keira Knightley thing. Just
that
cause,
was I saw that. That was
she's got range. That was pretty good. The two things I did like was they snuck in the helicarrier and Hydra Bob.
Yeah.
But they just called him Bob. And as soon as he said, I'm like, Hydra Bob, my wife, who has never read the comics, like, who's that? I'm like... Hydra Bob, don't worry
so
about it.
So she was there with you at the movie?
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of times she's just like, he's like out of control. Like she's saying that now she was cool with it?
No, she loved it.
Cool.
Yeah, she wants to go see it
Colin
again.
Colin said Sandy liked it.
Debbie
so
to see
I'm
going to
say,
we were both free.
Yeah. I kind of now want to see it in a way.
I
was not going to see it. It's just Deadpool's not like
it's not
one of my characters that I'm that into.
I feel like
but
the comics are oversaturated.
I'm kind of torn because of how people are kind of praising this movie as being really entertaining.
It's very refreshing.
Yeah.
With all these superhero movies, and even the ones that are funny, they still take themselves very seriously.
Yeah.
It's just refreshing to see one that constantly pokes fun at itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the audience.
And I think that's what's kind of tempting me, though. I'm just like, I want to go see this just because it's, you know, I'm not going to pass up something that's entertaining. You know, and that's the main point.
And that's just it. Even if you don't like the character, it's an entertaining movie. It's
I
want to
see something that's
movie.
Kind of, So, did it surprise you that did this well? I mean, you said...
Yes and no.
I felt like leading up to it, with all the marketing they did, I had a good feeling.
That's, I had a feeling it was definitely going to make its money back. I thought it was going to be a hit. I didn't think it was going to do $150 million opening weekend.
I didn't think it would do that.
But I also forgot that it was also President's Day weekend, so a lot of people had off. I know here, you know, the weather was crap on Monday. So, you know, people went and saw movies. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about the Batman Superman thing. That apparently it's not tracking real well.
Yeah, but then I heard other rumors came out that said contrary to that that it has been okay. They're nervous because it's a big gamble for them. But
well, they said it's budget got up to like $400 million, which that's
pretty high.
Yeah, that's a big budget.
That's pretty high.
But I think here's the other thing. If you remember, it started filming like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And production's really drug out. So, I mean, you got to pay people to do this work over time. That certainly didn't help. And, I mean, hell, it had commercials all throughout the Super Bowl. Those were $150,000 a second.
Warner Bros. Didn't pay for those.
Oh, they didn't?
No. Remember, Warner Bros. Didn't do a commercial.
That's
Turkish
right.
Turkish Airlines did. And they used the characters.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Warner's didn't pay. They opted not to. But it was like more than $150,000.
No, that's per second of airtime.
I would say, yes, $5 million for a 30-second spot.
Yeah. So it's, you know.
Have you seen the teasers they've been playing on TV? Like, they have, like, one that's mainly about Superman, and then the other one's kind of more Batman.
Yeah.
They're not, like, I was watching them, I was like, this isn't really selling this for me at all. Or I think this movie will sell me, because I am a Batman fan. I did like Man of Steel. But, those teasers are really not that interesting.
I tend to think that the last trailer that they had,
I thought it was pretty solid.
It erased the Teenage Mutant Ninja Doomsday. even with that,
that didn't really bother me that much.
Me either, to be honest.
The only thing, I thought it was bad CGI, but
see,
it may not have been finished.
I didn't have a problem with how it looked. I just didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, it gave a little too much.
Like, you have enough of a hook with Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing people have been saying, too, which I agree with what you're saying. Like, they showed a lot of stuff that I don't like trailers or teasers anyways. I try to stay away from them because I don't want to see the stuff before the movie. I don't mind seeing a little bit just to get me excited for it, but
it gets
sometimes they show too
much. Star Wars, there was like 28 minutes of footage was out before the movie came out.
And it was all the hype of Star Wars. But, I mean,
it wasn't just Star Wars. Yeah. You know, Avengers did the same thing where there was tons of footage out long
really
before
did.
The movie
they
came out.
Technically, Star Wars already had 2 hours of footage out if you count A New Hope.
Good job.
That's a good one, Josh.
You've got a sidekick now.
But
you're on your way to late night TV.
Oh, yes, sir.
Dave wants to hit me over the back of the chair right now.
Dave's your Ed McMahon right now. Like, oh, well.
But one of the things I heard about the Batman-Superman thing is if it doesn't do well, it might change their plans. I don't know why they announced, like, 7 movies before this one came out, and it's, like, Cyborg.
I was going to say, you mean Cyborg won't get made?
Yeah, I mean,
possibly because of this.
Wonder Woman, they're already making that one, so that one will definitely come out. Justice League, that'll come out, but they may seriously cut back on what they do.
The Zack Snyder might not be given the keys to the kingdom anymore, and have someone else direct.
What do you think? Sometimes he goes a little too big, though. Where Marvel, they get it out there, it works for them, but it doesn't seem as big of a movie. I mean, I don't mind
but
it. I like it.
300 was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I didn't see the sequel to it, but that movie was fine. Watchmen was big, but it was extremely faithful to the comic.
But that's just it. He had, you know, the work he had to do was kind of done as a director. See this page? Go do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's so that really wasn't anything, you know, to say about his directing skills. I mean, he filmed the comic.
I thought they replaced what needed to be replaced to, like,
the
big
ending,
alien monster.
Obviously, yeah. I mean,
like, I get why he did that because it wasn't gonna. It would work with us who've read the book, where we'd be like, oh yeah, this makes sense because it's just like the book. With the regular audience, they'd be like, just happened? Why is this alien cartoon?
I thought it made more sense the way they did it in the movie.
Yeah.
Now, I have the ultimate version, so, like,
it has the
Tales of the Night Freighter or whatever, a Black Freighter intermixed in it, which works well in the comic, doesn't work so well in the movie, and I think that's why it was cut out from the theatrical release. But even that, it was well.
I actually hated those sections of the comic.
Because it's just a distraction, but I thought it worked well in a comic. Like, because you can. Oh, it definitely you can work skip in the movie. Pages. Yeah, it definitely you can't.
Worked. But in the comic, yeah, I hit those. And I
first time I read it, I read everything through the whole thing, mm-hmm. like as is. Second time I read it, I kind of skip past. I'll read the Black Freighter story still, but I won't go into a lot of the
Tales of the Night Owl.
It just slows it down. Or if I really am like, I want to read Watchmen, I don't even read it. I put in the animated comic.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know if you guys ever watched that. He has it here. But
I've never watched it. I have it.
It's not bad, but it's this one guy, this, like, probably an older man, doing every voice, and he even does, like, the woman's voice.
Silk Spectre.
So, once you get past that, and you do, because after a while you'll just be watching and listening, and you don't
even...
Sexy
must be weird.
Yeah.
You go both voices.
Is that Hallelujah in the background? Oh,
But no, the animated comic is actually one of the better of those animated comics.
Netflix released a trailer for Daredevil.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was okay. I thought it was very Punisher heavy.
Okay is the word I would use for that.
Yeah,
it wasn't that. I don't know. It wasn't exciting to me. Like, it didn't get me any more excited for the show.
I mean, the first season was so good, and Jessica Jones was really good too. I don't think the first trailer told us anything. Like, you know, when is this taking place? Is it before Jessica Jones? I mean,
Punisher is angry and he'll go to greater lengths than Daredevil will.
Yeah, which anyone that's read a comic knows, well, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I did like the one line, you know, you're just one bad day away from being me. And I'm convinced... Jon Bernthal was absolutely the right choice to play the Punisher.
Yeah.
You know, he's like full on Shane turned to 11, and it works.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess they're doing a second one that's supposed to come out in a couple weeks, which I thought was weird. They're announcing a part two of a trailer because at the very end, it's you see the first glimpse of Elektra. And
when does it come out? When does the new season come out?
March 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like, what's the point of another second trailer whenever the show comes out in 2 weeks at this point? Like, why do we need... Or 3 weeks, I guess.
Well, I mean, they just did the Superman-Batman final trailer, and that movie comes out in less than a month.
That's a huge gamble, though. They need to...
No, I know.
Push. The Netflix show they already had.
Yeah.
One season did very well. Jessica Jones did very well. It's... Pretty much everyone's going to watch it is already on board.
Yeah. So for some comic news, Afterlife with Archie and Sabrina are coming back.
When? So.
Sabrina in May, Afterlife with Archie in June. And as Dave told us today.
Say it, Dave. Tell us, Dave. You get the. You
when was the last?
You earned
it. I checked.
Just almost attacked Dave.
And
I'm paying him back.
Last issue, Afterlife with Archie number 8, I believe, came out June 10th, 2015.
For something, you sort of sound like you were too sure, I believe, but then you had a pretty specific date.
I wasn't sure on the issue number. It was either, I think it was issue 8. I was thinking it was
issue... I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 8, not 9, yeah. So, yeah, June 10th, so it'd be almost a year until we see the next issue. That I'm not sure about the Sabrina.
Ridiculous.
Sabrina, it hasn't been this year, so it was
fall, I think.
It was last fall sometime.
I think it was.
Yeah.
It was like
because
October.
I got caught up, and then I
you know
bought
what?
One issue
it was,
that just came
out. It was
out.
November, because I said, why would they not have this come out for Halloween?
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they'll be returning. Hopefully the quality's still there.
Hallelujah, yes.
Yeah. And then the last thing I saw was Rebirth. Apparently,
Rebirth.
Yeah, it was kind of gross. I guess it was Geoff Johns.
Loved it. I love that teaser.
It's not a reboot.
After all the talk on Bleeding Cool, have them put out another image of the curtain. It's not a reboot.
It never was. Yeah.
Did anybody think it was a reboot, though?
Like, I assumed, Cole thought it was.
I assumed, like, a soft reboot. I wouldn't expect them to do a hard reboot again.
Yeah. I just couldn't see them being able to do a hard reboot again.
I don't know why they wouldn't have done it at the end of Convergence. That would have been the perfect opportunity not to wait.
Yeah, except only like 13 people would have known what was going on.
I also don't think they would have done things like... They would have not did like the Superman pre-Flashpoint meeting Superman and even have that as a plan to do a story if you're going to do a hard reboot.
Anyway. Well, things that fueled that is because... That was supposed to happen to Superman, and then suddenly it wasn't happening to Superman anymore, and they changed the cover, changed the solicit, so it made it look like they were making that go away, which kind of fueled the fires on it being a hard reboot. But then they found out with the new solicits it actually shifted to Action Comics instead of the main Superman book. So that's what happened there.
But I think between that and creators saying that they're leaving books and all that, that's what automatically had.
And if you go by the rumors, and we don't have to go by rumors much longer because tomorrow they're announcing it at Comics Pro, which that's what they should have done.
Yeah,
it's good they waited till that. But there's a lot of talk of shuffling around creators, getting some big name creators. There's rumors today about them trying to lock in some exclusive contracts with creators. Gail Simone tweeted something that made it, sound
two good pathways. She had to choose which one.
Colin will find out from Gail Simone and Colin Bunn tonight.
Oh, at the after party or the pre-party.
Yeah. One of the rumors I heard, though, was Tom King was going to be the writer for Batman for, the bi-weekly Batman.
Yeah, rumors he's going to be writing it, and Mark Silvestri is going to be on art. At least in some capacity. I can't see him doing art.
And I guess the rumors
But I'm surprised,
completely
though,
over
that
Scott
Tom
Snyder,
King
right?
would get Batman. Like, he hasn't been writing that long.
Tom King has been doing quite a bit.
No, he has been writing a lot. I mean, Sheriff of Baghdad's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, he's only been around for a
year. I think they're going by how well
so.
He has been doing. And not only that, he's been working on a lot of weekly series, and that's turning into a bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's working on the weekly series, but
so he's
also...
got experience in doing that.
Actually, is he on Eternal?
I think he has done a couple issues on Eternal.
I think he has. He was on the first Eternal book.
But he's juggling a lot of books, and the quality is there on all of them.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, but with Batman being their flagship book, I got to wonder if they're not going to say, you got to drop some of these other things.
I don't think they're so worried about Batman being as, like, what do you mean, like, their flagship?
Well, Batman is...
It's their only book. It's on the top 10.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying...
the
that's
Bat
what
Family
you mean
books.
By, okay.
Yeah, that's their
That's
their
book.
Book.
Yeah.
Do you think this can make a difference, or do you think it has more to do with who's on that book? Like,
no, I think it
do you
just,
think even...
It's the character.
I mean, do you think Detective can just become that book, though?
Well, if Scott Snyder's truly going on to it, then Detective
Which, isn't that been finalized that he is? I thought he said it finally.
He didn't say it. Greg Capullo
said it.
He said it. I don't remember now.
It's that Greg Capullo confirmed it.
Okay.
Detective could become
the main Batman
the better book.
Book,
just like Action.
I think people would just follow along.
Not has been recent, but was the better book for Superman for a while.
Okay.
But, I mean, we'll see how things actually...
I just have a feeling that they'll follow Scott Snyder. Like, I plan on it, because I'm just like, Detective is going to be the big book.
Well, yeah, and...
Well, he wrote some really good stories on Detective. Like, Black Mirror was really, really good.
It was
well,
awesome.
And that's exactly what happened before New 52 started, where I was, like, a big fan of Detective more than I was Batman.
And then that switched
when New 52 started up, so I don't know.
And there's still a lot of rumors going around that... Sean Gordon Murphy is going to be drawing something Batman.
He wants to.
With Scott Snyder. Well, he said in a podcast, on that off-panel podcast, that he would come back and draw something, with Snyder, like a Batman thing, if he got rights to Punk Rock Jesus from Vertigo. So there's some sort of deal going on there. I haven't heard any movement on that front. But he keeps... He's been drawing some comic lately that has Scott Snyder and himself in it.
Yeah.
And the dialogue has been, a lot of, comments about, Snyder wanting to draw Batman.
That's funny.
So it feels like it's a lot of teasing for nothing to be there.
The only thing about, Sean Murphy is that he seems like he just does miniseries more than he would jump onto, a main title like that and stay on it for a while.
Well, because he can. He can make the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would be on Detective for the long haul.
Yeah, I can't see that.
I think
that
he would
him.
Do an arc or two, and then
go jump
off and then jump off. I can't see him being at like Capullo, how long how he lasts.
Especially because he has Chrononauts coming back. Yeah. They're taking a break from Tokyo Ghost, but that's gonna be coming back.
Yeah.
I mean he has other work that he's balancing, so.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see. He wants to do it. I mean he does.
But yeah, we'll see. I think the only thing that could change with if Tom King is in fact going to be the new Batman writer, I could see them trying to lock him into an exclusive contract, and then Vision ends with over at Marvel because he's writing that for Marvel right now, or someone else takes it over. But
yeah, I'd love to see it. I really would. I think that would be amazing.
Well, I'd be here's kind of my surprise in that because Marvel being Marvel. Wouldn't they have said that? Like, they would announce that today that Vision's either canceled or getting a new creative team.
Well, it sounds like this exclusive contract thing has been just recently going on, so that might not be set in stone yet. They could be announcing tomorrow the general, you know, changes, but not have creative teams set in stone yet.
Yeah.
Although, I guess it's already end of February. Creative teams should be locked in for a June launch. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Tune back next week.
Tune in next
week. For all the non-rumor news about Rebirth.
We'll get Colin's input on it, or what he could get.
We'll have Mr. Portland himself, Colin McMahon.
if he's Mr. being Portland. Recorder out there for us right now, but he forgot the recorder, so he can't, like...
I told him to use his phone.
Get exclusive. Oh, yeah, he could use his phone to do that.
He could, but that might be more... He won't remember.
We just want to be a good...
I found out I got sense.
If you think we're a good podcast or a bad podcast, rate us on iTunes. It helps us with visibility.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So that's all I got for news.
Huh.
Well, before we go to the books, should we talk about goings on in the store, like sales?
Yeah, let's talk about goings on in the store.
So there are two sales going on right now. The weekly sale, which is the alphabet sale. You've heard Colin's whole spiel, but the gist of it is Colin has, I think, over 14,000 trades in his store here. That's a lot of trades. And he's trying to find a way to get people to look at other things aside from the main ones like Batman, Deadpool, things like that.
Which is funny because last week when he had B and Vino,
that's a lot of Batman.
Yeah, all the Batman trades were gone.
Yeah, which he was complaining because
I got to reorder all
stuff
those.
He has to reorder.
Yeah, but
he was trying to clear out.
It's about him trying to generate interest in other things, not just your normal
with
stuff.
All the crap with DC and Marvel that's been going on, you know, try something different. Yeah. You know, I've been pushing Valiant.
Try
Colin
Valiant.
Pushes Black Mask and Boom a lot, Dynamite. If you want to try something, you know, really unique, check out the different Image, you know, create your own books. Just, you know, there are other things out there aside from the big two. So
right in the front of the store, we have the Image number ones. We have a rack right
the
at the doorway. We have every Valiant trade.
And the great thing with
well
all these
there.
Other companies, the volume one trades are $9.99, $10. So if you come pick up a book during the sale, get a book for $7.50, a 4 to 6 issue, you know, trade. That's a pretty nice deal. So. Right now, all trades that start with the letters C or P, not C through P, C or P, are 25% off.
By the time they listen to this, though, by the time Colin gets it up, it'll
by
be
the time
D
you listen,
Q.
It'll be D and
yeah, because Colin's
like,
he gets up early.
It'll be D.
So, ignore what I just said. if you are hearing this on Sunday or later, then the sale is going to be the letters D and Q. So Dairy Queen
think
sale.
Dairy Queen, yes. That's what he's already said.
D and Q, 25% off. Come down, check out something new. And also, there's not much in the Q section.
I'm curious to go over there and see what starts with
the
Q.
The Q section over there is pretty small, but there's
Quantum
Woody over here for Valiant. The D section's pretty substantial. Especially if Deadpool just
Deadpool.
In the theater right now, Daredevil, things like that.
Yeah.
So check it out. And the other sale that is going on, it's been a month-long sale, the Valiant Comics Month. So all of the Valiant trades are double points. Like Pat said, Pat or Adam said, there's a wall of Valiant trades right when you first walk in the store next to the door. They're all on display right there. A lot of the Volume 1s are $9.99. Buy a trade, get your picture taken with the Battle Axe, Colin wants to send all the pictures to Valiant at the end of the month to show him some love. And we don't have it yet, but I did get confirmation yesterday that Valiant did send us a care package that we will be raffling off to some lucky winner. Wow. So anyone that buys a Valiant trade during the sale will be entered into this raffle, this drawing. And I think Colin said he's doing it where every trade you buy, you get entered in. So you could have several chances to win if you bought multiple trades. And he's going to go back and look and see who bought stuff during the Pat's holding up nine fingers. He's not an employee, so he can win. Colin's going to go back through and look at everyone that bought throughout the beginning of the sale to enter them into the raffle. Once we find out exactly what Valiant sent us, I'll post them on the website with more details. But we are getting something. It could be awesome. It could be okay.
It could be a new
We don't know. But you're
box cutter.
You're winning it, so don't complain. But yeah, they confirmed yesterday. The guy from Valiant sent me an email last night asking if we received it yet. So it should be here any day.
Cool.
Knock on wood.
Maybe yeah. It's a Ninjak Katana.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I would buy several trades to enter myself in. I am also not an employee of the store.
So you could want it.
So yeah. Come check those out, the D&Q 24% off trade sale and the Valiant Comics Month through the end of February, double points on all Valiant books, and the sales stack. So next week during D&Q, you could pick up Divinity or Dead Drop or The Delinquents or Quantum of Woody and get double points and 25% off.
So yeah,
those are the sales.
So that's them.
Should we move on to books now?
Yeah. Well, what about the question?
Oh, yeah. Did you see your question?
Yeah,
specifically to
there
you.
There was a question specific to you.
I didn't see it. What is this?
Well, you're not going to like it.
What?
Yeah, you're not. You're not.
I'll get the guy's name here in a second, but basically he wanted to know if you watched the episode of Comic Book Man with Stan Lee in it.
And what you thought.
And what you thought.
Why wouldn't I like it?
Because it's Stan Lee.
That's why it was directly to you.
Yeah, that's it. And we're not making that up. It was directed
to you. Do you have it?
Let
me see this
question. Yeah, if he does.
Why didn't Colin send this question?
It's James...
James from Harrisburg.
Yeah.
What were Josh's thoughts about this week's episode of Comic Man, which featured a full episode guest appearance by Stan Lee? I actually did not watch the episode.
I heard about the episode. I heard that he tried to talk. This guy wanted to quit reading, collecting comics altogether, and then he like sat there and talked him into it, back into it.
I haven't
again.
Watched it yet either.
So. Yeah, I watched Walking Dead, but I didn't watch Compliment. I recorded it. It's one of those shows where I liked it when it first came on, but then the faker it began
faker
to appear.
It. Yeah, that's the same with that.
The more my interest waned.
Yeah.
I will check it out. Maybe next week I'll let you know what I thought. I don't hate Stan Lee, and I was maybe unfair in my assessment of his role in the comics world. He did play a large part. I just feel like Stan Lee's, you know, on persona comes across as very, very douchey sometimes and full of self-importance. And yeah, he did a lot. He's important, but sometimes it just kind of irks me. However, his cameo in Deadpool was perhaps the best cameo he's ever had, and it made me laugh quite a bit. So I loved Stan Lee in that moment.
I always liked the Amazing Spider-Man cameo, and I didn't really like that movie, but he was
in the library.
And he had headphones on. He was like trying to clean or whatever.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. Although I obviously liked him in Deadpool as well. You can't buy love, but you can rent it for 3 minutes.
It was just like to have Stan Lee there with what was going on around him too, filming it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So no, I never took it that you hated him. Like what you were saying.
No, we were busting.
No, but I think I was a bit harsh on him. And I thought about more because I said that I don't think he was that great of a writer. Yeah. But I guess that was also just the time. I'm looking at it several decades after with.
It's a different type of comic book writer.
Yeah, it's different than what I'm used to. Yeah. So.
And he was writing a whole line instead of one book you know, two books. But, you know, I think it's. He's on when he's on TV, and that's, you know, it's not like you know Stan Lee. If you were his neighbor, you probably have a completely different impression of the guy.
Probably, yeah.
But
the persona
like,
that I have to
see.
Right,
but it's like anybody else. Like, Donald Trump, I doubt, is that much of a pompous ass everywhere. But he's always on when you see him. Yeah. I think if it was just, you
even
know, hanging
out. Even in Home Alone 2, he didn't even. There was a kid. He was abandoned there at a hotel. That's and a good he point. Was just like, oh, you know, forget this kid.
But, yeah, but again, you know, he's on, or, you know, and he's a Vince McMahon, another. You know, another example, a guy where his public persona is just, like, so over the
top. Yeah, and Vince McMahon...
You can't possibly be
Vince McMahon's public persona is kind of an a-hole, but Vince McMahon, I don't think, ropes in other people that are completely uninvolved. Yeah. With you know, WWE
or whatever. He kind of goes to the... He takes credit for everything.
Like, Trump... And we're getting a whole different conversation.
No, yeah, we better watch because we could get a cease and desist from him about slander.
But Trump ropes people in and makes comments for people that did nothing or had nothing to do with him whatsoever.
No, I understand, but I'm talking about not necessarily what he's saying, but like his persona, and it's most public.
I'm sure Christmas dinner, he's not saying, you know,
Excelsior.
Donald Trump be saying?
Oh, I thought you meant Stanley. I thought we were still talking.
That would be a really weird Christmas.
Spider-Man was huge.
Yeah, that would sound more like it. Maybe he's a huge Stan Lee fan. I don't know.
Maybe he is. Yeah. But even things that people have said about Stanley at conventions where you have to, you know, be so far back. Give me a break, you know.
And I don't think that was so much.
I understand that he's very breakable.
Well, he has handlers and you know.
I think it's just the amount of people he gets and all that they have to. It's not him necessarily making these decisions, but he has like management that's just like, okay, in order to get through this quick, so we get everybody through. But still, it becomes unenjoyable.
Yeah, I feel like he has very much so bought into his own hype.
Yeah,
and. Has an ego to go along with it. Now, granted, I don't know him personally.
Sometimes I wonder, though,
sometimes
stuff's keeping him alive because then he's just keeping so bad. Well, I don't mean to say that as an insult. But he's just, he's keeping himself busy with all this. This seems like it's still his thing, and he's become, like, a different type of face now for Marvel, that he's more of a character itself.
Yeah, he's a character of Marvel.
Than when he was the
voice
back, you know, in the day that, you know, he was Marvel.
Yeah, he was the voice before, now he's the face.
Yeah, now he's more of the face. Yeah.
But, James, I will watch the episode before next week.
Yeah, I might watch it just because...
James wasn't talking to you. He doesn't care if you watch Adam.
I know, it's true.
That's funny that he remembered your diatribe against Stanley.
I think everyone remembers.
Yeah, everybody knows.
It got brought up over a few podcasts. Now we just talked about a third.
It was a particular thing. It's just funny that he was just straight out, what does Josh think about this?
I thought when you said I was going to like it that there was going to be some sort of, you know, ignorant comment towards me. Or
it's just like, why is he talking? Get him out. It's just like,
why is this mongoloid hate Stanley?
Yeah, we don't know what the tone was there.
Yeah. That's James's question. That was all the questions we got this week, though.
That's okay.
Hey, well, thanks, James. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Keep them coming. If you have questions,
keep in mind, though, we don't too much watch comic book now.
If you do submit a question through the website, currently it displays an error after you submit the question. The question still gets sent. Ignore the error. I'm working with the company to fix it.
There you go.
It's something with Google's reCAPTCHA stuff.
We'll still get the question.
But you can always send Colin a Twitter question or
an email, Colin at Pittsburgh Comics.
Yeah.
Twitter at PGH Comics.
I like getting the questions, so.
Yeah, we like
kinda
questions.
Kind of gives us something different
to
talk about.
It breaks it up.
Variety.
But it's a nice little change.
Before we start talking about books.
Yeah. So speaking of which, Dave, what'd you read?
Dave's first.
He's like, Colin's not here. Colin's not here to interrupt you, too.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
So, what's all set for the rest of the day?
I'm sure this will go much better than it usually does.
Or it's going to be really
start with? Let's start with the Autumn Lands.
I read that.
Number 9.
I like this issue.
Oh, it's a very good issue.
Yeah. Did you want to go ahead and explain what's going on?
The great champion Leroy and Dusty, they are in Sheeptown in this issue with all the sheep.
Yeah. Supposedly, like, sheep are like they kind of set up little towns everywhere, and this isn't the only sheep town. There's many sheep towns.
Yeah. 1 second, please. I just got a text message from Colin.
Uh-oh.
The first paragraph doesn't matter, but the second paragraph says, "Sorry for interrupting the podcast. Boarding in 15 minutes. Hopefully it's Dave. I'm interrupting just for continuity's sake."
You were, Colin. You were. Text him back. Tell him you did. That's exactly what you did.
Just say you did, and then put dash Dave.
No, I'll think. I read the laughing then, because you're not laughing.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Definitely not laughing.
Laughing out loud.
And
except for me.
Were all sitting here pretty quiet listening.
I know.
Dave.
We were. Can't get away.
I'm sorry.
From
yeah. Well, I like that. Let's get back on track.
Yeah. Is Colin quieted down? Is he done?
Yeah, tell him to calm down.
Simmer down.
Yeah, like there's some passages in the book where Dusty's talking about his father told him that the sheep, they're just good for working or whatever. But Dusty admires the community and the love and everybody they have.
Yeah, his father had kind of that the ignorance that these wizards seem to have.
Right.
Where when Dusty actually saw it with his own eyes, he didn't see exactly what he was thinking. Like, he's been told so much about it, but it wasn't exactly that. The sheep seemed pretty normal. They seemed like a very, you know, they had a community going. They did milling.
Yeah.
They did grains and stuff like that. And then Dusty said that he was like, I've never seen them on the stock anymore.
And in the story, you know, the mountain or whatever it is, it's erupting, and there's lights in the sky, and all the beasts of burden are sick, and the children are sick.
Yeah.
And they need some wizards to help them out of this predicament.
Yeah.
So Champion Leroy and Dusty make them think they're wizards.
Well, I mean, Dusty is. He's just not experienced.
Right,
he's an apprentice right now, and he only knows so many spells.
That's true, yeah. And he feels very bad about,
about
lying to these sheep.
But he also, like...
People.
One thing that was funny, the kids, they had speech impediments.
Yeah.
All of them, you're trying to read it, but the adults didn't seem to have the issue with the speech. But it was kind of a new track onto the story, I thought.
Yeah,
like, we were going, we're spending more time with focusing on just two characters, which at the beginning arc, we were dealing with so many characters.
I know, I like this.
It's calmed down a little bit.
Calmed and honing in on these characters.
Yeah.
With just a few characters and what they're thinking now.
And the personalities between these two characters, Dusty and, what's his name, Leroy?
Yeah.
That, you know, Dusty is a dog. He's a,
like a terrier.
Like some
something?
Sort of terrier. Yeah, he mentioned that before. He's like, that's the kind of dog he is. He's a terrier.
Yeah.
And, Dusty's really calm. He's really polite. He just he's wanting to work with these people. And Leroy is from the past, actually.
Yeah.
From when they were at war. So he was a human from before
he's the first human these animals have seen. And
the sheep were trying to figure out who they were. And they're like, I think he's a manatee.
Yeah, that was a manatee.
And they're just like, an ocean creature on land? And he's just like, well, yeah. You know, they just didn't know. It's... Autumnlands, it's been a fun story.
Yeah,
I really do think.
It's an excellent book.
I think it would read better in trades for a lot of people.
I bought the trade during the A sale. Haven't read it yet, though, Dave.
Never read it yet, okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's and well, that one's only $10.99, too. All those number ones.
$9.99.
I mean, yeah. So, still, it's really worth coming in and checking out, reading that first arc.
Yeah, check it out. The art's beautiful.
Beautiful art.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's great that he could keep up that art, even though there was a couple month delay here.
And I'm really curious on where this is going, too, because like going up
I
on the mountain, seeing what's happening there, you're exploring this whole entire land.
Yeah,
and it's fun. So, yep.
Okay, that's the Autumn Lands, number 9. Pick it up. How about The Sender, number 10?
I read it.
Excellent issue.
I liked it quite a bit myself as well.
We have Tim 21 and Dr. Kwan and Telsa on the Machine Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do more experiments on Tim because he had these visions of all the destroyed robots.
Robot heaven.
And they think this robot heaven or this backup disc or something
may exist.
In
the, is it UGC? the government?
Yeah, United Galactic Council, something like that.
Yeah. I think they may have a backup of all these, the robots, the memories of the robots.
Yeah, and interesting stuff, and because the other kids there, Tim 22, and he's trying to tell Tim 21 that Tim 21 misses his family and Andy, and he's trying to tell him that it's not his real family. So we have all that kind of themes going on.
And Captain Telsa seems convinced that the robots are going to get rid of them once they no longer need them.
Right, right.
So it seems like she's planning some sort of, I don't want to say revolt, but something against them.
Yeah, she's afraid they're going to find out about Dr. Kwan, that he's not who he says he is.
Yeah. And then, kind of a big thing at the end, too.
That was a big big reveal. The this alien's, I wrote Harvester. Down the names.
Harvester, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that alien race, the Solanos, those are precogs. And they show this vision of the Harvesters coming back.
Yeah.
With Tim 21 leading the charge. So that was a shock.
How many issues is that?
10.
10. So is there a trade out for that?
Yes.
I just didn't see it out.
It's $9.99, I believe.
But it's a D.
But next week.
Oh, it is a D. Yeah. It is a D.
That's why I was wearing it.
25% off next week.
I just don't see it on the shelf. So
Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen.
Dustin Nguyen.
He might have reordered it. Somebody bought it. Somebody came in this week and actually bought a lot of Image trades just to try something new like that. So he might have picked that one up as well.
Stuff you don't have it on the shelf.
Yeah, every once in a while somebody will put it back in the wrong place.
Yeah, because there's these over here for you.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's the sender. It's a great science fiction story.
It does sound good, and that's why every time you guys talk about it, I might pick up the trade.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and it has a lot of heart, too.
Cool.
Okay, next book. Let's go on to... how about Darth Vader?
Oh, yeah, I read Darth
Vader. Yeah, I read that.
Did you guys read the annual?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
yeah.
So I guess it's a continuation of this. Yeah. It's that group of people.
The start of the Shu-Torin War. And Vader goes back to this planet because the Orr Barons are rebelling, and he wants to help the Queen.
Well, the Emperor orders him to.
Yeah,
the Emperor orders him to. Right.
I like how he brought back Carbon's body.
Yeah,
and he just dumps it out on his carpet.
But I love the dialogue. Really.
Yeah.
Really captured Vader because when the Queen is talking to him and she says, "You have to treat me with respect around my people so they'll respect me,"
yeah.
And he says, "I'll do that if you don't question me." And she's like, "It's a deal." And he says, "No,
it's not a deal. It's
not
just
a deal.
How it's
simply
be.
The
it's
way it will be."
No,
that is Vader.
Or in this case, yes, you will follow it.
There's some great stuff like that in the book.
Yeah. I like the better, because I didn't really like the annual, but with this attached to it.
See, actually, I like the annual a lot. I wasn't as much a fan of this as I was the annual.
Star Wars annual I didn't like.
Okay.
Because I think that was the weird one with the senator.
Yeah.
Was like I think
that was
it. Maybe this
that
was fine.
Yeah, that was a different character going undercover on Coruscant or something.
No, it was. It was really good. Good continuation off of with that stuff dealing with Carbon bringing him back. The Emperor's whole thing with why they were going, because I guess all of that ore and stuff pretty well fuels the economy of the Empire, is what he was saying. So that's why it was so important for them to go and deal with it.
Building Death Star is not cheap.
I know, that's where they get it. They just basically... I like the idea from the movie, though, where they actually... This new movie, where Force Awakens, where they actually took a planet and turned it into it, because I was just like... Why would you build a whole thing when you have all these, asteroids and stuff that you can just build a Death Star out of that thing and fly it all over the place? But, they use a lot of material for that, so I guess that had a lot to do with them using that.
Okay.
So, it was good.
It was good, and then at the end, Vader's hiring some bounty hunters to get Afra.
Should have been dead already.
dead or alive, he doesn't really care. At this point, he's being held by the rebels.
Yep.
Did anybody read The Badger, number one?
I did.
Well, that's not a happy look on your face.
I don't know. Kind of. Yeah, it's not very happy.
I didn't read the old Badger. So
I didn't either. I never
came into this completely clean. I liked it, but I liked, you know, kind of the military PTSD aspect of the whole book. Although clearly he had something going on before he joined the military, but the whole thing with he goes through a traumatic event while he's deployed, he gets discharged, and then he kind of gets lost in the system is very topical today anyway.
Yeah.
There were a couple of parts I thought were pretty amusing. I thought it was fine.
Okay. It seemed kind of disjointed to me in parts and
I think going he's from scene to scene. I think he's disjointed as part of the problem though too.
Okay.
Because you know he has multiple personality disorder, which.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the key things when he was talking to the psychiatrist. I think one of them is like an 8-year-old girl. One of them is a gay black guy. One of them is this Badger character who we haven't actually seen him as the Badger yet. But there was one scene where he's hallucinating. And a giant badger
like
comes
that.
Up to him and is like,
"I
want you to be the animal spirit for me." So it's like, okay. But I guess she said he has like 5 personalities that have come out, including his normal self. So we've seen the badger, we've seen him, and we've heard about 2 other ones. So.
Okay. Maybe my expectations were a little too high for it.
I asked Colin about this. Colin was pushing it pretty heavy. Yeah, I asked him about it. He said he enjoyed it. And the one thing I asked him was, I was like, how true was it to the original run of this? And he was like, yeah, it was pretty,
okay.
Stayed pretty true to it. So
I read a lot of those first books back in the day, but American Flag and John Sable Freelance, but never read The Badger. Okay, Ian. Lastly, Jughead.
Yeah, I read Jughead.
Number 4.
This book is okay. Like it's like I've said this before. So I mean, the Archie book is a lot better of a title.
I enjoyed this issue a lot.
Yeah, it didn't.
I thought it was a little bit better than some previous ones.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a lot of them. Each issue kind of has its own the same formula, where it's just basically Jughead has a situation. He, at some point, starts to daydream, and then he daydreams something like he's a pirate, or he's a spy, or he's a...
It's kind of like the Secret Life of Walter Mitty, almost.
A little bit, yeah. Jughead is kind of like that.
It is. He's trying to convince... It starts off, he's trying to convince all the kids that all the new teachers are secret agents.
Yeah.
And they're up to no good. And he gets Dilton to put this... kind of hack into the principal's computer.
Yeah, he couldn't hack it, but he had a monitoring device which would plug in the USB, and then the monitor would plug into that
so they could mirror
what they were saying.
In the first words are hello Jughead or something, so they know
it was whatever his name was. What's Jughead's name? I forget his name. His real name.
Hello, Mr. Jones.
Oh, okay. Is that what it's...
His real name. His real name is Forsythe, though.
Forsythe, yeah, that's right. But, in this, he was like a pirate, though. He daydreamed he was a pirate.
So he daydreamed he was a pirate. Slackbeard.
Yeah, Slackbeard.
Because he can't grow a beard.
Yeah.
Another important piece of information issue, we learned that Jughead is officially asexual.
Yeah, that was played up on...
Which Kevin Keller tells him in...
Yeah.
And Jughead agrees, so he doesn't have these... So he's... Well, I mean, you could pretty much assume that, you know, from 75 years of Archie Comics.
He's asexual?
He's asexual. He doesn't know. He's not. His life is not complicated by these hormones.
Yeah. It's just, he doesn't even worry about it.
He's like an amoeba?
No. He just doesn't.
He's just not attracted to men or women.
He's just not attracted to anything.
I knew someone like that. They were fine, but just weird.
Did he wear a crown?
No. It was actually a her. Oh. I'm not saying that because
still wear a crown.
No, I'm not saying that because she wasn't into me. She wasn't into anybody. She
didn't like me at all. So obviously she was.
No, but I knew plenty of people that hit on her because she was cute and she just. And it was just weird because when you're in your young 20s, that's what you do. Nope.
She just wasn't.
I'll stay home and read a book. Yeah. Okay.
She's probably on her third husband now at this point.
That's the thing. It's just there's people at that.
That might have happened too.
She just didn't like anybody there. It was just that area.
I that could be too. New York's a weird place. So yeah, it could be.
It's our the art is my biggest complaint on this book.
I thought the art was a little bit better this issue.
I'm not a big fan of Erica Henderson.
Yeah. Well, I can understand.
Yeah, everything just... I think it's Squirrel Girl just kind of...
Yeah, just soured you on...
Yeah, because I just look at... I'm looking at Betty on
the comic.
Why are
you buying Squirrel Girl?
No, it's just the art. It's the same art. Oh. So I just know the art on that and not picking it up Squirrel Girl because of that.
Hopefully she doesn't show up on comic
book. I've read the previews, too, on that.
Well, I have to mention, did you read the backup story in this, the old...
No, but I do, but I didn't.
Okay, well... Because I read it. It was a 4-page strip from the.
Was it talking about it being asexual?
No, but the story featured Jughead's cousin, whose name is Souphead.
Yeah, I did read that much of it. Because I was wondering why there was a smaller. Because I thought it was you remember they used to have the kid Archie. Or it was Little Archie, where everybody was younger.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that's what it was at first, and then I saw him.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what he looks like. So he's like a little Eddie Haskell type character. He's nice to everybody in front of their face and mean to them behind their back. He's a little
what a jerk.
He's a prick.
Yeah,
Souphead. So I want to bring back Souphead.
Souphead coming back as the villain.
I'm starting the hashtag.
My mouth on you tonight, Dave. Jeez.
I'm trying to be...
The world just got Dave.
I know. I got censored last week, so...
You did.
I heard.
Yeah, that's crap.
It's not me. It's Souphead.
Really? That's going to really mess with Colin now. And just every so often, throw in some words. So he's just like, I got to edit so much.
Colin texted me. He's like, when roughly did Pat say that? I was like, oh, I think it was when this
we
happened.
Were here. He listened to it.
All
for
he had
a while.
To do was ask me.
Yeah, that's what I didn't.
I'm not going to get mad about it.
Yeah.
He couldn't find us. He listened the entire thing.
He listened to it.
And it was at the very end.
Yeah. It was when Pat was talking about Batman and Robin Eternal. That's where he ran into it.
I quoted Tropic Thunder. And that apparently was not allowed.
That's it for me. Who wants to go next?
There you go.
Adam?
First of all, I'll talk about real quick. Adventure Time 9, F49 ended its issue.
49?
Yeah, it's up to 49.
Wow. I didn't even realize the book's been out there. Show's been out that long.
I just like this because you run into kids' books out there that are all ages books that are not at all they have that wrong feeling. You know, if you've read the Simpsons comics, the Simpsons comics never really feel like the TV show of the Simpsons or, this book just matches it. It could fit in. It could generate interest in both the show and the comic if you watch them. A lot of these characters can be reused because they're so close to how the TV show is. But they ended this series and it was just a really good issue. They used to do this thing at the bottom of the page where the editor would or the writer, whoever, would put, at the bottom margin, they'd write, a little thing, a joke or something about something that was going on in the book. And they've removed that, which I'm kind of happy, because it was really hard to read it, because they wrote it in green, on this really light greenish yellow on white. And then it was fine when they first started the book, and then afterwards,
they made the text smaller, and I was just like, okay, I'm not going to even try reading these anymore. But it was a good end to a pretty good arc. So, Batman TMNT number 3. Did anybody read that?
Yeah, I read that.
I've liked this book. I really have. Sometimes the art is a little, especially on Batman and Bruce Wayne. It's one of those things where, you know, they make him too big sometimes.
Yeah,
and just a little.
I actually thought Splinter was a little odd looking.
I didn't pay attention to it, but I'll go back.
He looked
look
a lot
that.
Like Lorflees.
Which I guess he could.
Lorflees?
Yeah.
Did he have like the tusks and everything?
No, he didn't have the tusks. But I mean,
the teeth were just so big. It was just ridiculous. No, I'll have to go back and look at that.
Was he walking around saying mine?
Yes, these turtles are mine.
I was supposed to have mine.
This issue kind of starts off with them going straight into battle.
Yeah,
and then it goes back to when they broke into the Batcave to meet with Batman and talk to him about their situation.
That seemed like that took up a lot more of the book than it should
have. Yeah, I agree. And it was very, I don't know, it was kind of disjointed a little bit because of that, too. They're trying to get back home. If they don't, everything about them,
the mutagen wears off
being on the DC Earth.
Yeah.
And they have to get back. I guess it doesn't worry about Splinter or Shredder because Shredder isn't a mutant. So he has nothing to worry about. But Shredder's trying to get back and abandon them there. And this, he kind of reverses it. And as they're fighting him and Shredder loses, Shredder's just like, well, then you're still not going home. So he destroys the thing.
Now, you actually read the Ninja Turtle comics. I haven't, right?
Okay. Some of them,
So he specifically calls Splinter Hamato Yoshi in this.
Yes, he did.
Now, in a cartoon, he was Hamato Yoshi, but I thought everywhere else he was his pet.
Yeah. That mimicked him.
Yes.
Well, you just brought up a good point. Because also in this issue, he says, Shredder threatens him and says, I can't wait until that mutagen wears off or whatever. Because he can't wait to feel his rat spine break under his heel or something like that.
Right.
And then if he isn't Hamato Yoshi,
he won't turn back into a rat. He'll turn into a man.
So there's a lot of...
Unless Hamato Yoshi was always a rat.
Well, in the comic books, he was a rat. Just like the movies.
Okay.
The cartoon show from the 80s, he was a... This is where we lose Colin. This is... he was a person who... The mutagen.
He touched the rat and then
turned him into that. Right. So, good point. They kind of
great point, Pat.
Messed that up a little bit.
I catch things like that.
Yeah, I mean it's right to the if he's a rat and he's supposed to be a rat, it's right to the comics. But yeah, kind of messed up in the book itself, continuity wise.
And you know, I'm a child of the 80s, so I remember the cartoon. And it's like
like the idea better that he was a person. I never liked the idea that he used to be a rat in a cage and he studied martial arts by mimicking.
Yeah, that part never made sense.
The mutagen, I was going to say the mutagen hasn't turned people into animals, but I guess Beelzebub and Rocksteady, so.
Yeah, so they did that a lot. I think that's why they changed that in the comic or in the cartoon, because it gave them people to change. And in this new cartoon, they do that a lot.
It doesn't make sense, though, for the turtles, because a human would have had to touch the turtles for them to mutate into human turtle people.
Yeah.
So if...
There was no science behind this.
Yeah.
No science at all.
Inconsistent.
Behind this turtle.
This mutagen is inconsistent. And all it did to Daredevil's made him blind.
Yeah. I feel bad for him.
To Shredder, turn him into Bane.
Super.
Yeah. And somehow his armor, too, which made absolutely no sense.
Grafted together, became his
skin. Didn't we talk about that in the podcast?
I think we did.
I think last week, actually.
Now, I actually want to go back and now watch the second movie
just because you
want to
do the Vanilla Ice part.
Of course.
We have at home
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
Original movies on, like, a Blu-ray pack. like all of them.
Yeah, you could probably get it at Walmart. Yeah, I think I have like, $3
they're all in these like thin cases.
I think it was like $10 for.
Yeah. I'll have to go back.
I mean, were there three movies?
Yeah, the third one was really good. They also had an animated one that I think they included.
I actually don't mind the one where they go back to
feudal
Japan.
They took some of the things from the comic books. Like, the staff was actually a thing in the comic books, just not going back to Imperial Japan and, you know, going after whatever that British guy was. It had one of the weirdest effects in the movie, though, where he's falling into the ocean at the end. Where the guy meets his demise.
It's been years since I've seen that.
And he kind of just, he falls, and disappears, and then there's a splash. And it's just like, where did he go?
Mutagen.
Yeah. that's the only explanation.
That's why when everybody says, oh, we want a good Ninja Turtles movie, look back at the old ones. None of them were very good.
The first one's pretty close to the first comic.
I do like the first one. Yeah. But
well, you got to say none of them are good. The first one's pretty solid. It's dark.
It is. No, it's not good. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good... I enjoy it, but I enjoy it for the nostalgic value.
I would say it's good.
The first movie is actually the closest to the comics. Yeah. And what they basically did was they took, like... It's not just the one comic.
It's like
they took the first comic, and they took, like, the comics from The Shredder's Return.
Okay.
And they took that and put it in there a little bit, and they took a bunch from
Casey Jones.
Yeah. That whole section in the middle with Raph, that's pretty gut-wrenching.
Yeah. No, that was.
It is. It's a decent film. Second one, they were going for that kid audience. They want to make it more
fun. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they got rid of the weapons.
Yeah.
That was stupid. Yeah. Like, they're Ninja Turtles, but they don't have weapons.
And then they added a teenager, and, you know... It's one of those, like, 80s teenagers that, you know...
Yeah, that kid was in, like, all the karate movies.
But you had people getting beat up with sausages, and...
It was out of control.
Yeah, yo-yo scene.
Yeah. That's right. The first movie, the one-foot soldier hits the main power cable with an axe and, like, fries. Like, that's pretty dark for a kid's movie. Like, even for today, I don't think you'd get away with that.
Adele and I watched it.
It was on TV not too long ago. Yeah.
And, I mean, she's 5. She enjoyed it. It's one of those things where we watch movies from that time period, and I wonder, is she going to hate this just because it looks dated? But, no, she actually liked it quite
a bit.
Sometimes
they do, sometimes they don't. Like, yeah. I've noticed that, too, where kids will just be like, they'll lose interest. But if it keeps their interest, where for some reason, like, when we were kids, we had better attention spans, I feel like, because, like,
Less stuff to distract
us. Well, I know that my nephews, when they were a kid, they didn't enjoy stuff that wasn't computer animated because they were so used to seeing it in 3D than not seeing, like, regular 2D animation. Mm-hmm. It's weird. But the ending of Batman TMNT was kind of cool, where they bring in another Batman villain. And I thought it was a good villain to go with.
It was a good choice,
And I don't, you know, spoilers if you're going to read this, so I'll just... say it. It was Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
So mixing those characters together, I think, will create kind of a cool story.
Yeah, because his stuff with the Penguin, Penguin is a crony to the Shredder.
Exactly. But this is like almost like an equal in a way.
Yeah.
He could probably take him on. It was good. This has been a fun, I love these crossovers that DC and IDW have been doing.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm kind of curious what they'll do next. Like, which IDW characters they'll pair off with, like Superman or something like that.
Superman Ghostbusters.
Yeah, something like that. But it's like Constantine Ghostbusters. which brings me actually to Constantine.
Constantine?
I know
Constantine
you read it.
Constantine in Hell?
Yes. I caught up on this just today. And that's basically what this issue is. It's Constantine escaping from Hell.
Yeah, so first half he's in Hell and you're getting some, you know, it's fleshing out what Hell is in this current universe and setting up for him and Papa Midnight to be tortured.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the demon's name.
His name is
Narna or something like that or regardless.
Necron.
It's this pretty Necron. Badass. It's this pretty badass demon.
Nurkon or something.
This pretty badass demon.
Well, the only thing about him is he looks like he, like, incinerates people with his mouth, but I think he's actually doing the opposite. He's, like, incinerating and absorbing them or something like that.
I think so.
Because the first time you saw him, he used a napkin, and
He wiped his mouth off, and then he threw it back to like this baby flying demon. It was just very, yeah, it is. It was he's really hardcore though, because, and even like somebody says to him, I think this was a previous issue though, said, you know, he's like, I'm the most influential demon there is or something, and she's just like, well, don't forget about Lucifer. And then before he says it, he just kills her. And he is. He's pretty big, but according to what they said before, he wasn't. He was like small potatoes before, but he's worked his way up.
And he's very powerful.
Yeah. The only character that kind of doesn't seem as tough as he should is Papa Midnight.
Papa Midnight seems like a...
Yeah, I know he's being tortured.
I self-censor myself so that we call it and have to later on.
I know he was being tortured by hell demons, but he just seemed very sensitive at one point where Constantine was just like,
man up,
bring it on,
man.
And he was just like, you know, you he almost think he was going to cry.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I think the way he's drawn too, he's like the way his face is drawn in this
really
looks really
baby face.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a demon named Blight, which I'm sure was used beforehand, before at some point, helps them escape hell. But
she was used earlier in the series, whenever Constantine sent her to hell.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Now, I remember that.
He tricked her.
Yeah. And she's wanting she'll help him get out if she, you know, she gets to go too.
Yeah, she wants him to help her get out of hell.
So they do. They, you know, try to get out, but in the end, Constantine, like he does, betrays both of them. But in the end, it didn't work out for him either because he ends up in some sort of weird fairyland. So I don't know what happened there, but I'm interested. The art in this book is, I love it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It fits the book so
well. Oh, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I love the story going on.
This is much better than the previous
series. Yeah. Oh, and he leaves Papa Midnight because of what happened beforehand, where Papa Midnight was just like, no, I didn't really poison, what's his name? The guy he's been seeing.
His boyfriend, dude.
I get. Are they considered a boyfriend?
Well, no, I'm just saying for...
But yeah, I guess he didn't do anything. And then that guy is starting to figure out, like, a little bit more about Constantine and who he is.
Maybe this isn't someone that he wants to be hanging out with.
Yeah. Or it could go the opposite way, where he's just like, I'm going to make my own decision in this. I don't know. It just... But it's a good... I like this telling of the book way better than the last book.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the last book was so chopped up and destroyed by I forget what even that was called. Blight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For Forever Evil, and it failed miserably. This...
Even before Blight, though, it wasn't that.
It wasn't.
I think I stuck around for six issues,
and
it wasn't
that
great.
It's just him going up against other magicians, where in this he's going up against demons, and it's just more unique. Like, that issue way back where...
it felt like they were scared to make it too dark.
He was answering emails.
That last one, it felt like they were scared to make it a truly dark
book. Yeah, I think that's what they were.
And this, it seems like they...
I think they embraced the TV show in this. Or the TV show was doing its thing, and I think they kind of...
Yeah, like this one, they have no problem being very graphic and dark. And
yeah.
It feels more like it's Vertigo roots.
It does, and I think that's where that book needed to go. So, no, it was a really good issue. I'm happy I caught up on it.
I'm happy, too.
Thank you. I tried to. There's other things I haven't read at all, though. Earth 2 Society... I really like this issue. One thing in particular about it, they're fighting a... basically, this is all taking place after Convergence, where we learn about the planet. They inherit this planet from Talos, if we all remember from Convergence. Each ship lands at a certain place, or crashes, really, into a certain place. Everybody gets off, and they use those materials to build new cities. Well, in this, they're starting to set up that there's a lot more going on. They need to start getting a little more control over things, because now cities are fighting over resources, like oil and stuff like that, where they're just like, we need to start fuel. We need fuel. We need all this stuff. And Superman, who is Val Zod, and a few of the other guys, which I don't remember who exactly were there, but I know Val Zod was there, are investigating the resources anyways, but... Cities are deciding to go to war for these resources, and they're actually
militarizing and they're fighting. And the Wonders in Earth 2, they call superheroes Wonders, are going up and trying to stop it and not have them fight, while Valzad is able to check into the planet, and he relays the information back that the planet is actually an empty shell. It has no resources. And I was like, well, that's kind of a twist to the whole thing. But then I thought about it more, and I was just like, well, Talos, that, what a gift, buddy. You know, you were just like, here's an eggshell. And it has nothing there. You'll probably die, so good luck with that. That's kind of where it lasted off. But I thought it was interesting. I kind of like this book because of all this stuff. Because they're trying to rebuild an Earth. And it's for the same reasons that Josh, you were talking about Batman Beyond, and it got me, I was like, I got to get caught up in this book. It's the same reason why I'm liking that book, because it's kind of the same way, where they're trying to rebuild, and you know, they have to do so much, and they're setting up new governments, but they're working under superheroes, because the superheroes are trying to lead them into the right directions and stuff like that. And it's just a really fun book, but it's so different from the other book. I don't know what's happening with this book, though, whenever Rebirth happens or whatever, if it's going to go away, because I know it's rumored that they're talking about a Justice Society book anyway, so yeah. I don't know if this will stay, this will be replaced, I don't know. But I recommend it. I think it's still a fun read. It's just different. It's not the same as it used to be, but it's still kind of a fun book in its own way. I read Old Man Logan 2. Colin talked about this book, got me into it on when Old Man Logan 1 came out. He talked about it on the podcast. It's basically Logan was dropped off into present day. And his plan is basically to try to fix the future before it happens. And he writes with a permanent marker on his arm who he needs to go after. First, and this was in the first issue, I didn't really like it, because he goes after some random villain that, like, slapped his kid at one time in the face and took his hat. And I was like, that couldn't have changed the future.
Wasn't that a show on NBC?
What is that?
The slap.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Where Siler slapped some kid and then factions were formed.
Yeah.
But that's but that's kind of the that was the problem with this guy. And I was like, that didn't really, I don't know how that changed the future. The other guy on his list was Bruce Banner, which in issue 2 is who he goes after. So he's looking for the Hulk, and he gets into the fight with the Hulk. But something doesn't seem right about the Hulk when he's fighting him. And it turns out it's not Bruce Banner, it's Amadeus Cho.
It's totally awesome.
So, yeah, so it's totally awesome Hulk. And so he's just like, oh, they all both figure it out. They don't know. He thinks he's Wolverine's grandpa or something. And then Wolverine still thinks he's Banner, and they're fighting, but they're just like, this isn't right. But they still go about it. They figure it out. The police show up. Amadeus Cho is like, can I help? Let me try to help. But he runs off anyways. And nothing really happens. So he doesn't really go after Banner at all. And he doesn't want to tell them where Banner is. I don't know if Chow knows where Banner is. So he can't do anything about it. So his list isn't starting off very well.
So if the first Hulk was the Incredible Hulk, and Amadeus Cho is the Totally Awesome Hulk,
yeah.
Would the next Hulk be the LOL Hulk?
LOL Hulk. It depends on where the fads go. You know, if it goes in that direction, then... the interesting thing about this is Wolverine does mention in this he doesn't remember there being a Hulk, another Hulk. So he doesn't remember Amadeus Cho becoming Hulk, which he probably wouldn't know because he's dead at this time.
Yeah, but if he's ever alive...
You mean if he never comes back to life?
Well, and...
Well, that's the
Old
thing.
Man
he
Logan
wouldn't remember because he's dead.
Was from a different universe that...
I guess.
Crawled over
the
walls.
They never really explained if it's a different time or a universe. Because according to this book, he's fixing time. It wouldn't make any difference.
Well, he thinks it's all in the same timeline.
Yeah.
But I think they're playing it up as a different universe. Even if he wasn't from a different universe,
yeah.
This is still a brand new universe with things from different
which parts is a good possibility areas. That's the direction they're going, because there's only so long you can go where he has four people on his list. How long is a comic series going to last when he's killing four people on his list?
Well, and there's characters Marvel that may only last six issues.
It's a miniseries.
Well, and you know, he like where is he going to find Red Skull? I mean, where do we don't even know where Red Skull is. So it's just like, where is this going to go? So it probably is going in that direction, like you're saying, Josh, where he's just going after thinking it's a new time. Not necessarily that it is.
Yeah.
That he can do anything about what's going to happen. It might not even happen on this Earth. It's not bad. It's not a bad book. It just, this is a book where in issue two, I expected it needs to go a little quicker. You can't just be like, Amadeus Cho, and I'm just like, I didn't want that. A whole issue of him fighting Amadeus Cho, and it didn't make any difference.
Nobody
was ever going to want that, because it doesn't progress the story. The interesting part of the story, though, was at the end, he goes to Hulk threw him all the way to Brooklyn on accident somehow, and
accident.
He says, well, I know one person that lives here that I can ask for help, and it's Hawkeye.
But Steve's not there.
No, it's Hawkeye. And he gets there, and the dog's there.
Ah, pizza dog.
And the dog's talking in word bubbles. So and bubbles that are like, he even pictures like an animal of a Wolverine. Like, that's what he smells. And he's just trying to figure out, but he likes him. And both of them like each other. Hawkeye's not there, but what's her name? The girl Hawkeye.
Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop's there. So.
Still Hawkeye.
Yeah. And that's what she said.
Somebody said the better Hawkeye. Just like,
Something about that, and she was just like, well, you're half right, because she was Hawkeye, but she wasn't Clint Barton. It's good. It's not bad. It's just, it's gonna have to move, like, get a move on. So it's not a bad continuation off of not the Secret Wars story, but the original miniseries. But that's it for me. Pat?
Okay. Batman.
I think we all read Batman, except for Dave. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, because you didn't mention it, so I was like,
you saved it for one of us.
I saved a few times.
I guess. Bruce is back. And yeah, not in the way I thought he was going to be.
I have some reservations about how he came back, though. Because, well, am I jumping ahead? Should we?
No.
Okay. So he came back. They used the machine that it looked like he has been, it's been shown previously. We saw it in the one issue that Snyder and Sean Gordon Murphy used, where they jumped far ahead in the future, and we saw clones of Batman.
Wasn't that the reprint of 27?
Short story in that. And then we've seen it alluded to in other issues, too, where he is developing this machine.
It's the bat-cloning machine.
Yeah, this machine where he can clone himself and then implant memories to the clones. But the plan was always to implant up to his death memories, but implant memories right up to the point where he decided to become Batman. And then let them from that point on become their own Batman and learn their own way that was relevant to their time period. So why did he have a full backup of himself right up until right before the fight with the Joker?
I thought that was a little odd too, and I don't know if he was just having that contingency that he had a backup for, like, yeah, he had it if he was going to clone it, but he also had it if something was going to happen, but they don't really explain anywhere why he would have had a backup.
But what's to say that that was necessarily the only use for that backup? Yeah. What if he had it, you know, like Superman the movie? Clark talked to his father, even though his father was dead, and told him all about Krypton and all of that. You know, maybe that was there for Damian or for someone. Hey, these are some things you might want to know as Batman, like a Batman training log or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was originally intended for. Or it may have even been, since this wasn't even tested yet, he wanted to have that just in case.
It's one of those things where, hey, look, there happens to be a full backup of my memories here that we haven't mentioned at all previously that we're going to use to bring.
It wasn't explained at all.
What's that called in the Deus Ex Machina?
Yes.
The machine to solve the impossible problem?
The one thing about that that doesn't quite make sense anyway, the training. So, you know, your body has muscle memory that's completely independent of your mind. And, like, I've experienced this where things that I've done, like, when I was in the military and training, thought never going to happen in real life. Like, putting a mask on in 3 seconds. You're never going to be able to do it. until the first time I was over in Iraq and the siren went off. That mask was on and cleared in 3 seconds, and you just don't know you can do it. That should have happened here, where, like, combat skills should have come back to him immediately.
When was he presented with combat?
Well, but that's the thing. Like, it, you know, I could see where the...
And the muscle memory is still
tied. He doesn't have to, like, he wouldn't have to have all his memories reimplanted.
Your muscle memory is still tied to your subconscious. It's not a memory within your muscles somewhere.
But that's, no, but that, I get that, but that's just it. It's subconscious, not like.
But his brain was completely, it was completely wiped and reformed because of the.
Okay, the pit. I just, like, there was nothing I have a hard time.
It was very similar to the Matt Fraction run of Iron Man, where his Tony Stark's memory was completely gone.
Yeah, it wasn't rebooted. It wasn't amnesia. It was a format of a drive. Like, there was nothing there.
Nothing.
Well, except for he was remembering things. There were glimpses, like when he talked to
Duke.
That's
true.
When he was
on the train tracks, but, and he
you're an IT guy. I can wipe a hard drive. That information's still there. It's just, it can be overwritten, but there's ways to get to it. And that might be what it is.
Yeah.
If you're willing to go through the trouble, but you can always get back.
I don't know, because Slater has said several times that it's gone. Like, his memories were gone. Now, yeah, the train tracks thing.
Yeah.
There was definitely some holes in it, but, I mean, even we didn't see him in combat, so those skills might have been still been there.
But that's, I agree. Some of it was just like, oh, and by the way, we happen to have that, but
it was just awfully convenient.
Yeah, it was just awfully convenient.
What was he, was he programming different memories? Like, because they were all, like, there was, like, a... him as, like, Commissioner Gordon as Batman instead, and they, like, switch places. Did you see that one when you were reading?
What was he doing there?
Why did those exist?
I kind of looked at that as, like, in the Matrix, where there's, like, a loading program.
Are you talking about the future
stuff? His daydreams?
Yeah, like, was that what he was going through or putting into him?
I think the future panels.
Okay.
Because remember, before he went into the machine, he was talking to Alfred, he's saying that he can be a different Batman. Mm-hmm. Just because he's gonna get his memories back, he also has memories of his new life. And without that tragedy, and that he doesn't have to be the same dark Batman that he was before.
Okay.
So I think those flash forwards are showing, you know, if that came about, that's what he could have been
created.
But he had to go, like, full blown, you know, brain damage or brain wipe, and
that's why every time he kept doing it, they kept disappearing, like they would get killed off or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to exist.
So he doesn't remember everything that's in his past now?
Well, he does now.
Well, it
he well what
it ends it ends at the moment, but it leads you to believe that now everything that has happened to him since he
lost his memory.
Yeah, since he lost his memory, he doesn't remember anymore.
So the new Bruce Wayne that's been created just recently.
So he new Bruce is gone. Who's been killed?
No, that memory's gonna be back because.
Okay.
So after Endgame, whenever he fought Joker, they both died, but because of the pit and the chemical there, was it a Lazarus pit? Was it something different?
The Dionysus.
Yeah, Dionysus. Dionysus.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
It revived Joker and Batman. Also rebuilt their brains, so they don't have memories of who they were. They seem to have, like, little flashes here and there, but for the most part, it's a clean slate. He was living a different, you know, life as Bruce Wayne. He was told he was Bruce Wayne, but he wasn't going down the path. He didn't know he was Batman. He was working with children's, I don't
like
know,
an
a shelter, but
almost, yeah.
Yeah, like a children's program kind
it's
of
like
thing.
It's like a rec center.
It was actually, it was like an orphanage for,
that's right, the
for
kids
what had happened with Endgame.
Oh, yeah, for kids that lost parents in Endgame. Yeah. Fell in love with a woman from his past and all this. Well, then he kept seeing clues as to who he actually was. He was Batman, and finally he knew and decided he had to, you know, get to the cave. Alfred's trying to stop him, and that's when he wants to restore memories. See, he knew that Bruce had some way to come back. Okay. He would have had some sort of contingency. So he wants to restore his memories from before Endgame, and he thinks he can layer them on top of his current memories so that his current personality persists and doesn't become the Dark Loner. But they found out the reason why it wasn't working on the test before is that you have to essentially, you know,
you have to die,
take it to a brain dead state, and then you can implant those memories.
So basically, so, he had to unplug it and plug it back in again.
Yeah,
that's basically.
So,
yeah.
So the idea now is that all of his memories since he beat Joker are gone. That new Bruce is gone. Now he's back to being the old. Yeah.
In order to become the new Bruce, he had to sacrifice.
Even Madison said,
this guy who just was born from.
Yeah, Madison even said that, you know, she knows that he won't remember her at all. And
yeah.
That was good. That was a good part.
That was though. Yeah. I was gonna say the interaction with him and Alfred, yes. And then we did definitely see his arm is cut off or his hand's cut off.
Yeah.
Colin mentioned though.
I think the hand's still on ice.
At one point he
okay.
At one point he like covered his ears at one point. It was just like, what was he doing with that? Was he just,
it was
like,
just like the stump?
But he wasn't really, because they were even, so it was just weird in the art. But he just, his whole, the part in that book that I loved the most was when he was just like, you're asking me to be the one who pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
Like, you're wanting me to become Joe Chill.
Yes.
In this case. And I was just like, that was really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alfred was.
Yeah.
Was very broken up over the whole.
Yeah.
Whole
Which thing. Makes sense. But
it does.
Again, we are Robin. It doesn't make sense if he is that character.
They still, it's been so many teases, and it seems like it could be anyone else.
It just doesn't.
But they haven't explicitly said it's him, so who knows?
I'm curious. I think that's why that book is so interesting. Not because it's that, it's not a great book, but
there's a good mystery there.
There's a good mystery to it. So I think that keeps people going on it.
And I loved how Batman ended with him just stereotypical Bruce, like, just tell me in the car.
Yeah.
Like, immediately have to spring into action and go after Bloom.
Yeah. I can't wait for the next issue. I really can.
Okay, so moving on. Batman Robin Eternal.
Read it.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of this issue. I thought it was a filler.
It was kinda.
I didn't mind the content.
Yeah.
And I normally like Paul Pelletier.
Yeah.
I did not love the art in this. I felt very rushed. The faces seemed really, really off.
Adam and I were talking about that. This is like the second or third issue in a row where I think that's been the case.
Yeah.
Get ready to bleep Pat out.
No, I'm not going to say it.
I feel like with a weekly book like this, you need to line up four artists. And they are in a round robin scenario.
Yeah.
So
they're
that
still
way,
doing a monthly
so
book.
That way they each still have a month to do it, but you should never see rushed, or you should never see, you know, three or four artists on one issue. And I don't
should
know
be
why.
They work on a little bit, they're able to not rush it. Then that while they're doing that, the other artists should be working on the next part of the story and so on and so forth.
Yeah, the arts are always a big problem for me in this issue.
But, yeah, nothing, you're right, Pat, nothing really huge happened in this besides what we already had happening already.
I think the only thing that kind of came about was that the fear toxin can offset,
which
offset mother's hypnosis.
Which I guess we kind of knew, but in another way we never saw it implemented.
Yeah.
So, one of the girls who was the assassin, the ones that wear the skull masks, she seemed okay.
Yeah,
well, that
was helping.
Well, but that was the other thing. It was
Jason Todd.
There was a certain age thing. They explicitly said
I guess
that.
She said
she felt it.
Yeah, she somewhat
her.
Felt
oh, okay.
it. She didn't feel it totally, but she said
but
maybe
it,
she was just.
But then didn't it finally take her over?
I don't
before the end of the issue. I thought it did.
There were a couple of the girls with skull masks, though, weren't there?
I thought there were only three, but it seemed like there were four.
Because it also didn't affect Harper right away, and then all of a sudden it finally had her.
And the people that were in the safe room, it started to affect, like
Tim, and
Cassandra Cain.
I thought that this was a filler, and I mean, you're 19 issues into it.
Yeah,
it was kind of late to be doing.
I wouldn't say
like
filler,
that.
But it
didn't do enough to move the story.
Yeah, it didn't move the story. It still continued the.
Yeah, it continued going on before. It almost felt like it just a. Part of the previous
like
issue.
It still had something to do with the main story, which that's why I can't necessarily call it a filler.
I would
then
agree
it would
with that.
Be different, but it didn't. It just seemed like the last issue.
Yeah,
it just continued.
Yeah,
it didn't need continued.
Nothing. Nothing new.
Yeah. But all in all, this series I think has been really good.
Yeah.
How long is this supposed to go?
26
Six
issues,
more issues,
I think.
So we're getting there.
Yeah, that's why, and that's why I kind of thought it was like a filler issue because I'm like. You don't have them any more issues to wrap this up.
Yeah, so you kind of have to. Well, in that case, it could kind of be a filler if that they'd be like, we have to do something with this issue to just continue going.
Yeah,
I can see what you're saying. Good though.
James Bond. I'm still reading that. Yeah.
I read that, yeah.
I may am at some point. It's funny, yesterday Colin got in issue 3, which I wasn't able to get issue 3.
Oh, okay.
And he got it in reorders. Maybe it wasn't yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. So I was like, well, I'm going to take that one because I hate to do this to you. Take your one because he only ordered the one.
Yeah.
So I sat it up there and some guy comes in and he's just like, he says, do you have that? And I was just like,
ah.
And I was just like, Colin, just give him mine. I said, I don't care. So he got to read that one. Colin's specially ordering another one.
Okay.
So, I like the series though, so you can talk about
it. Yeah, it's been pretty good. Bond essentially got trapped in a clean room, and by clean room I mean like at the end of the first season of Walking Dead, how there's like the clean room protocol in the CDC where it burns everything to 3,000 degrees.
Yeah.
That's basically what Bond's trapped in, and the villain's monologuing with them, and it's like, come on, like, even in comic books you're gonna do this? But it's that's, you know, at first I was like, this is such a trope, but then as you know I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, that's exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's a Bond villain. And that's the thing about the series, is it's felt a lot like watching a Bond movie but you're reading it. And it's a nondescript Bond. Like, you could do the fake Scottish accent and have it be Connery.
You could do whatever you
or
want.
Or you could do, you know, it could be anyone you want, except for Lazarus.
And he doesn't even have really a look. He's just...
No.
Yeah. He's just... Yeah. He looks like what you think Bond would be.
Right. Yeah.
But he's, you know, doesn't have to have a specific movie look. Like, he doesn't have to be Sean Connery or that either.
Right.
So, it's cool.
I thought it moved the story along. It was fine. You know, it certainly left you on a cliffhanger. So that's
The thing that stood out for me that was the action. The action sequences and the fights are really, really cool how they're rendered, I thought.
Yeah,
I mentioned this like 2 months ago, but they do a thing where when they show, I don't know, Bond breaking his leg or whatever it was, and then
he got punched, or like he threw his elbow in front of the punch, and you could see it was like
then,
X-ray.
Then they share like a panel of an X-ray of the bone breaking. And there's just some interesting stuff going on. I thought it was cool.
It was very CSI.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you get to see it happen.
So
yeah,
a different way to do the sequence, and just I thought
they did
really
that.
Well,
Sin City did that as well, didn't they, in the movie? Where something was like punched and you saw like the bone and it would show. There's been lots of things that have done that.
CSI did that.
I think CSI was probably the one prompted.
The funniest one, Undercover Brother did that.
Okay,
that was hilarious because it was a foot up the butt. That was hilarious. but there's been a lot of movies ever since CSI started doing it where they did something like that. Shaft.
Oh, yeah, that started up.
I think I'm the only one that read that. So this is the start of a new series. David Walker's still writing it. It starts off with Shaft had apparently rescued the daughter of a gangster from kidnapping, kind of feeling down on himself for it for some reason, and they really didn't get into it. So he's kind of been on a 2-month bender. And then... a couple from upstate New York come to his agency and want them to find his son. And then we find out that the son is gay. So, you know, it's, you know, the police won't help him because it's supposed to take place in the 70s. Yeah. So it's very, you know, police don't care about some gay kid from upstate New York and all this. So Chef takes the case. But, you know, told him from the start, you know, I'm probably not going to find him. I don't want to waste your money. There's a lot of love in this, like, as he's writing the character. You can tell that Walker enjoyed...
He has a lot of respect for the
character. Yeah, yeah. And I think that the books have been... The first series and then this book also have been very true to the character. And as you know, this is only the first issue, so I don't know where it's going to go. But it's very true to watching like a 70s blaxploitation movie. So it's pretty cool.
How is it in conjunction with the previous comic book series? Like that you were reading that one.
Well, it's a completely different story. That kinda story
changes. I mean, does it even feel
No, it feels like it. Yeah, I mean, it feels like a Shaft movie.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's pretty cool. So that's that one. Last one we'll talk about is Flash.
I read Flash.
I don't know how I feel about this one.
You know, I heard someone else describe it, and it kind of makes sense when you think about this. It felt very much like a Silver Age book where you have the Rogues teamed up with the cops to take down Flash.
Yeah.
I hate this whole plot point that they've had with the cops against Flash.
Yeah, I think that's the part that bothers
me. Only because I feel like it doesn't make sense. Like, they haven't earned it through the story.
Yeah.
It feels that Daryl just has it out for the Flash for no good reason.
Yeah, like, one incident took place, and it really wasn't Flash's fault, but all of a sudden he's public enemy number one.
Yeah, like, the whole thing with the police station, he got upset at Flash because Flash sprung into action, and he felt like he didn't think it through first.
Yeah.
But Flash didn't, you know...
He wasn't one that was destroyed.
Destroyed the station, put the station under siege. So that part just really didn't feel very, very earned. I mean, same thing with the whole, like, Superman thing when Superman was against the cops. It didn't feel earned.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a good reason as to why it was happening.
Yeah, that wasn't with that.
Now, the one thing I did notice in this, he when he was, I think Barry was talking to Snart about how, you know, he wasn't part of the Justice League, but he worked with the Justice League. So it kind of sets this up after what had happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like, and we haven't seen Snart in anything since before Darkseid War began, but it seems like he's not part of that anymore, not working for Luthor,
and it's back to being
a rogue.
It appears that way.
Which
I'm glad they mentioned that, because at least then there's some sort of reasons to why he would be pulled in to help out the cops.
Yeah.
And then he pulled in the rest of the rogues.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a little more sense.
Where is he in the Justice League now? I mean, they did.
We don't think he's part of the Justice League.
No, the last time we saw him, he was working for Luthor as, like,
that
security.
Whole, Amazo virus.
Yeah, but that was...
After that, it was done.
Right, and that was just it. After that, they went into Darkseid War.
He could still be working for Luthor and just get pulled in to assist the cops.
Yeah, he could be freelancing or whatever.
Huh. I kind of forgot that he was
It was
gone.
It was fun. Not great,
but
not bad.
I think you said it right. It's not earned. What was going on just hasn't been earned in the book
yet. Yeah, and it's been the case for a little while now.
Yeah, it's dropped off. I mean...
It hurt a lot when it was trying to be too much like the television show.
Yeah.
Because the television show was doing it so well.
Yeah.
The book wasn't, so it really stood out. I did like that this kind of got away from that a bit.
Yeah.
Back to telling its own story. I just wish this cop thing would get resolved and move past it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we know we're going to get a new creative team on Flash, too, so maybe it'll...
Well, Van Jensen has done it 50. Venditti could stick around. Venditti wasn't scripting at all. I think he was just helping out with the story.
Okay.
With the plotting, so he may still be on the book. I like Venditti.
I do almost things, too. Yeah. I haven't liked him as much on the Flash, but... I like the character, and I think it's getting to be, you know, of kind of all the DC, like, main superhero books, this is the next one I'll drop.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet where I'm like, I'm going to get rid of this.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I'm at this point where if tomorrow's announcement says that come June there'll be new number ones for the books that are, you know, the big books, and then brand new books for other things, I'll probably continue getting the books I'm getting right now just to finish out.
Yeah.
That run, and then...
Well, that's what I always said. Like, they always say that these... that new, like, Marvel always says, new number one, that's a good jumping off point. Like, it's also a good jumping off
point. Yeah, it is.
And, you know, a lot of my DC, I'll look at, and I'll... You know, I'll rethink it. I might not necessarily... I'll drop off something, but I might replace it with something I'd rather read.
I think, with the DC stuff, that I don't see myself dropping off... like I did with Marvel recently. Mm-hmm. I think Marvel, it just burns it how many times they've done it.
Exactly, yeah. That's the thing.
DC, you know, once after 4 years, you know, fine. I can.
Yeah, I can live with that.
We'll see.
I mean, they gave it time. I mean,
I definitely need to be. I think after this point, though, with whatever comes next, I need to start. Myself personally need to know when to let go.
You need to be more self disciplined.
Because there are books that I get right now that
I agree.
I really haven't enjoyed thoroughly in a little while, and I still buy them just out of habit. Like Dr. Fate,
yeah.
It got better with like the last one or two issues.
Yeah,
but for a while there, it was kind of starting to drag on, and
I agree.
I should have stopped it, but I
still get out of habit. The book that really did that for me was New Guardians, Green Lantern New Guardians, I dropped off of it. And then they announced the last one, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to not have four issues or whatever. So I went back and got the two issues I was missing,
and they got the last two.
So it was like, and I don't want it to be that way, but I know, like, my OCD will kick in and say,
yeah.
Well, you have 31 of the issues, you might as well have all 35.
Yeah, and saying a good jumping off point doesn't mean necessarily that you're just going to stop collecting. It's that you're going to find better things, other things to.
Yeah, my or monthly spending will still stay the same. Just I'll be buying something different.
You just want something, but you're not just going to stay on something because you feel like you have to finish out series.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Of something.
So. Josh, what'd you read?
Green Lantern Corps Edge of Oblivion.
Yeah, I read that. I wasn't impressed.
Really? I didn't mind it. Again, it was one of those books. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was just kind of in the middle.
But, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Lost Army. And I read through it. I thought there were some good moments in Edge of Oblivion in the first one. I picked up the second one, but I'm just like...
This is only a 6-issue miniseries, and I feel like I have no idea where it's
going to go. So going right back to what I don't want to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to read it, but I don't
dislike this one. I definitely, this one I really want to see what happens. I just 2 issues in, don't know where that direction is going, and they can't take this entire planet with them to their universe.
No, because that's the thing. That universe has to die.
Yeah.
So,
and
I mean, trying to save it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because you know it has to die.
Yeah, and what's going on in the story is they found Muck Muck's dead body.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead.
He's dead.
The fish.
Dead. He's dead. The fish is dead.
Aw.
Fish is fried, man.
Aw.
So they find Muck Muck and.
Well, there's Len.
He's really that Muck.
Guy's all upset because Guy was against helping in the first place. He
hits Kilowog.
Punches Kilowog right in the face, which Kilowog takes a lot of punches from his fellow Lanterns, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's kind of the punching bag.
Yeah. And then they find out there are different factions on this planet. There is the faction that are with the giant people that have the black jaws.
Yeah.
Which that's a weird design, but whatever. And then there's a faction that follow this, like, anthropomorphic spider kind of woman that lives in the core of the planet. The image they showed before they actually showed her, like, the image they showed her when they were talking about her, made her look more, like she was more like a spider-ish creature. Mm-hmm. Then when you really saw her, she just looked like an old alien creature in a, you know, Victorian ball gown.
Steampunk.
Yeah. So there's this creature that lives in the center of the planet that is older than all of them, and they make it seem like she's almost mythical that these people follow, but then we actually see her in...
It's like Madam Web.
Yeah, she exists with, you know, some other people in the, you know, depths of the planet, and she's trying to prevent the planet from escaping their universe. For some reason, they feel like it should be destroyed as well, and there's some plan they're putting into action, so they're trying to sabotage things. They're sabotaging the alliance with the Lanterns. They try to sabotage the engines on the planet that's, you know, propelling them. And not a whole lot happens. It's just a big battle between the Lanterns and, you know, her forces.
Yeah.
One thing that doesn't make sense to me is we have seen now twice in both issues these other, you know, Lanterns that have seen Mogo's beacon and are, you know, heading towards Mogo. Mogo and this planet don't look like they're that far away from these lanterns, yet still, again, we see in the beginning they're going towards it, but that's it. They're still not there by the end of the issue. So I don't know how long they're going to drag that out for. We lose a couple lanterns at the end of this.
Yeah.
That go into this void.
And that's what I got to wonder, though, is this just like so they can call the core a little, or, you know, so they can introduce new lanterns?
Well, I have a feeling that void may have
or it might
taken
suck them
back into their universe.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that, too.
I don't see them killing off Arisia, Rab, and Badge like
oh,
that.
Nah,
yeah, so no. It was Badge was with her, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so.
Muck, fine, but...
Well, we can't kill the other squirrel character off. We already killed off one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her statue hasn't come out yet. From her bombshell cover. So, but it was okay. Just
Simon
okay.
Bass had lines. Simon Bass
Simon
never
Bass
gets lines.
Had quite a few lines, actually.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's T-Dog waiting to happen. You give him a couple lines and he gets killed.
Watch Simon Baz be the main Green Lantern in the movie.
That would not surprise me, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simon Baz had a pretty relevant line about, like, Muslims, too.
Yeah.
In it.
The only thing is, I don't know if they'll throw that out there because...
Well, it wasn't about Muslims, but he's Muslim, and the line referred very blatantly
referred
to.
I don't know if they
use
that character
Muslims.
Mainly because I think it would throw so many people off of, who is this guy? This isn't Green Lantern.
I was just kidding, but it would be funny to ignore him so much in the comics, and then suddenly in the movie be like, here's our
Green Lantern.
But that was the thing. They made such a big deal about, oh, it's the first Arab Green Lantern,
They did
nothing with him after they introduced
him.
Well,
then they got in trouble earlier on for killing off like an Arab superhero, which was in Aquaman. She was one of the others. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got in trouble for that because they were just...
It was a dude, the jetpack dude.
Oh, I thought it was the girl with the right at the beginning who was killed of that series.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, because she was running, and then I think it was Black Manta was the one who kills her or something like that. Yeah, but they didn't do it. No, they haven't done anything with that character. Mm-hmm. Ever since Forever Evil, it was just like...
No, he somehow brought his brother-in-law, I think it was, back out of a coma, and they said no one could do that, and then they haven't done anything with it.
Still don't understand.
So
he willed it to be. Is what
Yeah.
Weird.
All New Hawkeye. Another book that's just okay. So, it's a new arc, but it's still
this
continue
is
off. It's Lemire, and
you're actually a fan of Lemire.
I am, but I haven't loved his Marvel stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a trend with me.
And he was doing
Charles Soule went
Green
to Marvel
Arrow
and...
before that, right?
Yeah, he
how
was.
Were, how would you like Green Arrow?
I loved his Green Arrow run. Yeah, I liked it quite a bit.
So yeah, he just some of these character guys aren't.
But I mean, it's okay. It's not bad. It's just this arc has been going on for too long. This story. So this. There's these three kids that have these powers. They can almost
they
like
make things die or kill people.
We find out in this issue they're inhumans.
Of course, they
because
are.
They have to be.
But this story's been going on since the pre Secret Wars Hawkeye. So it feels like a long time to still tell the same story. And it says all new arc, but it's the next phase of this. You know, this
all
story.
New continuation of the last arc.
So, we still have flashbacks. We're shifting between time periods, only this time now we're shifting between the present and Kate Bishop's past. So, we're seeing Clint Barton in the present, and then Kate Bishop's origin.
That's why they
have
a bearded cover, where Clint Barton has, like, a beard on the cover.
Well, that was the previous arc, where we're seeing flashes forward, and 30 years in the future, where we have an older Clint.
Okay.
He has a Van Dyke and a...
Yeah. And I'm kind of over the whole flashes back and forth through time periods. It's rather jarring and it hasn't been that engaging. The out of time stories they've been telling, like the Clint and Barney origin from the before Secret Wars arc, it started off okay. It got kind of boring. The flash forwards from the last arc weren't that engaging. And this one doesn't start off that strong either. It's just, I feel like they're really trying to recreate Matt Fraction's Hawkeye, and it's not working. It's not bad, it's just, it's not great. It's one of those books where I'm on the verge of dropping.
Yeah.
there's not a character you care that much about that you'll hold on to.
The story is just boring. It's boring. I'm tired of this story of these kids, because how many issues did it go before Secret Wars? I think six.
Yeah.
So now,
and we waited 6 months.
Yes. Now we're Secret 10 Wars issues
more,
in.
More than that.
We're 10 issues in on they had to get these kids, and then they gave the kids up. And then they saw the repercussions for giving the kids up, and I had to get the kids again. And it's like,
just going all over the place.
Yeah. It's give me a break. It's too much. Black Science number 20. So this is part 4 of God World. So Grant has his memories back. We find out that it was 3 years in between when he got separated from the rest of the Dimension Knots, his family and his colleagues. They're all spread out. And over the three-year period, he rebuilt a pillar device and didn't really have memories of what had gone on, didn't know, you know, how much time had passed. Now he has his memories. He's trying to find his children and find the other people from his dimension and rescue them, trying to be the hero. It doesn't go so well initially. He tracks down one of the suits. It ends up being one of his colleagues that died very early on, and he's seeing repercussions of their actions, because now these like praying mantis like species, that it's a death cult. They go around just, you know, killing as part of their religion. Well, they recovered.
The prime mantis, isn't
it? Yeah, they recovered one of the handheld pillars that his team lost and didn't recover. And from there, they designed their own pillars, and they've been going through dimension to dimension, just slaughtering everyone. So now he's trying to stop them, destroy the pillars they have, fix what mistakes, you know, what ripples his crew have caused, while also trying to seek out, you know, again, his, you know, his family and his colleagues. It was good. I mean, it was pretty good. The previous issue was just, it really knocked out of the park, so anything was kind of going to pale a little bit in comparison. But no, I've been enjoying this. I like, it's a very different direction for the book from how it was before, and I kind of like they changed things up. It keeps it very interesting. The art's phenomenal. Mateo Scalera's art is incredible on this book. Has been from issue one. New Suicide Squad. So, I haven't been reading Suicide Squad at all. I picked up this issue because Tim Seeley is now writing it, and Juan Ferreira, who I liked a lot from Colder and from Gotham by Midnight, is now on art. And I really enjoyed it. The only thing, this issue really tries to introduce you to the movie version of the Suicide Squad.
Which, it was about to happen.
Yeah, and it plays up those characters a lot and gives you the background for all of them. And they're on this mission to save this individual before an assassination can happen. It wasn't bad. They definitely, you know, need to get their footing on the book, which, depending on how Rebirth goes, I mean, they may not have that long on the book, unless they're going to be the new creative team afterwards as well. Juan Ferreira's art, I generally like a lot. I liked it in this issue, but definitely a little bit shaky to start off with. But I think it's been the case with a few of his other books as well, so I think he'll get his footing. Same with Tim Seeley. You know, I think it was a good debut issue for them. I think they'll hit their stride.
He was the one who did a lot on Convergence, wasn't he?
Tim Seeley?
Tim Seeley, I thought. I'm maybe mixing up with some other books.
Tim Seeley is on Grayson with Tom King.
Okay.
He does Revival. He does Hack and Slash.
Okay. I'm mixing him up with somebody else.
Yeah. I was reading Suicide Squad, and I wasn't really enjoying it, so I dropped that probably three issues ago.
I only picked it up for the new creative team. So, and I enjoyed it enough where I'll buy it again next month, too. It ends on a big cliffhanger that
somehow Deadshot's now Black Eyes.
That is a big cliffhanger. Yeah. How did that happen?
At the end of the issue, all of them are dead.
Huh.
They all get killed.
Thank God for Lazarus Pits.
But we know that's not going to be the case. So
somebody will we'll go see. Back in time books or over. Something.
Yeah. There was one really cool 2-page spread where it was showing, like, the way Freya laid it out, it was showing all the action sequentially occurring, the way it led your eye. You're seeing, you know, Deadshot jump across these rooftops and then tumble into a shooting position sniper rifle, and then leads you down to a chase that's happening in the alleys, and you see Harley Quinn and Diablo fighting. Yeah, it was just, it was really cool how the page was laid out.
You said that about his art anyways. Like,
his art's very, it's very energetic and very kinetic, and he does a good job of showing motion.
Yeah.
It just has to get his footing. Some pages and panels really stood out as being great. Some were, a bit shaky.
And this is a little different of a jump from what he was doing.
It's not a mystical book. He does a lot of mystical stuff.
But I can see it working. Well. It just, you're right. It would take a little bit of time to get used to
it. Yeah, and it's that same painted style that he does. So it was really good.
Huh.
Ninjak, number 12. So this we have Ninjak and Punk Mambo assaulting Shambhala, I think it's called, the capital city of the Dead Side. And they encounter, Ninjak especially encounters Shadow Man, or as he's called in the Dead Side, Magpie, who he's become. And we get some backstories to what's been going on with him. So as the Shadow Man book came to an end, probably 2 years ago or something, somewhere around there, he had been fighting. He was losing control of the Loa, the Shadow Man Loa. Jack Boniface is the human that has this Loa attached to him that becomes Shadow Man with it. Well, it had been taking control of him. He had been blacking out. The Loa had been taking over, and he didn't have memories of what was going on. He was becoming very violent. And it ended with him in the Dead Side. He ended up killing his parents, who had been dead, but they were in the Dead Side. And he permanently, ended up killing them. He lost control of himself. And during that moment of weakness, Master Dark, made him a slave or made him a servant. So looks very different. He's in these chains. He's constantly suffering burning and pain unless he's, carrying out Master Dark's will. But Master Dark hasn't been around for a while. And if you're reading Book of Death, we saw Master Dark was the, antagonist in that and was defeated by Eternal Warriors. So that could be why he hasn't been around. So now Shadow Man has been going around trying to gather these talismans to create a key that will allow him to free himself from Dark's control and free himself from the Dead Side. And these talismans have been demons or, people from Earth that he's trying to gather, and he finds out that the talismans aren't going to become the key. It's the process of gathering the talismans that will somehow grant him the key. And some of the people he takes are the people that Ninjak was fighting in the previous arc, the Weaponeer arc. So that's why Ninjak is there in the first place. So Ninjak is confronting Shadow Man and almost trying to convince Shadow Man to let them try and help him, that he's, been a slave to Dark. He's not responsible for what's happened. But then Punk Mambo, bursts in with the Loa that she has under her control, and then Shadow Man immediately thinks that they were lying to him. So it's setting up for a big conflict. And I think the next issue is the last issue of this Operation Deadside arc. But it was good. The issue's been split in half to where you see what's going on with Operation Deadside and Punk Mambo and Ninjak. Then the second half is backstory about what has happened to Shadow Man and how he became Magpie and what he's been doing, where he thought he was going around collecting things from Master Dark. He was really going around trying to free himself. But it's been really enjoyable. I love the art in this book, especially the colors. The colors really, really sell the whole mystical side of things and the Dead Side itself. It's really been impressive and a nice change for the Ninjak book. What else do I have here? Slash and Burn, so from Vertigo. Main character Roisin, she's a firefighter who used to be a pyro. Arsonist, I guess. Pyromaniac, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Pyromaniac. Whenever she was a kid, she was.
I think you'd bring in a firefighter. she was a pyromaniac.
I guess a recovering pyromaniac.
Doesn't make any difference.
Could possibly want to become a firefighter. It's that way they're still around fire without having to actually.
They could deal with it, but also they're.
Because she tries to fight the urges.
Yeah.
So I think being around fire helps fight
those urges. That makes sense.
But we see a lot of her. This book flashes between her backstory and the present. And she was in an orphanage, and a lot of these kids in the orphanage, they were all pyromaniacs, and they had like this cult essentially or group, and they would go around burning things and try and mask that it was them. And you kind of feel bad for the guy that's running the orphanage, because they, you know, he made these tree houses or these bird houses, and they burnt them down. And one of the kids is a bit dark. The kid said that the bird houses were empty, that even the birds don't want to live in these ugly things. So they set them on fire, and then you found birds were living in there, and they murdered all of them. Well, so you're feeling bad for this guy that runs the orphanage until this issue, where you find out he's molesting one of the kids, kind of graphically. And in the present day, all the kids from this group are being killed in fire-related incidents. Well, one was a hit-and-run, but the other ones were fire-related incidents. So she's trying to find out what the ties are, and she thinks that one of the kids from the past who suddenly showed up back in town is murdering these other people. It's been good. It's very different. It's only a 6-issue miniseries, so this is issue 4, 2 issues left. But I think in trade it'll be a pretty unique unique trade.
What's that called again?
Slash and Burn.
Huh. Yeah, that sounds different.
And the last one I mentioned is Dr. Mirage, Second Lives, number 3. It's just a 4-issue miniseries, so it's almost done. We have Dr. Mirage and her, ghost husband, Hwen, I think it's how you say his name, are trying to track down this ghost killer who had managed to bind himself to this scroll that Dr. Mirage and her husband are trying to use to return him to a corporeal form. Well, this ghost, he bound himself to all these spells and rituals that were in this scroll and immediately began to massacre other ghosts and affect the living world. And we find out he's trying to also make himself whole again, give himself a physical form, so that way he wants to take over the world. He wants to be, he thinks he has visions of becoming some sort of, ruler over everything. His history, he was back from, the 30s, Hollywood. He was like this psychic or magician to the stars. And then that's how he got involved in cults and got himself trapped in the scroll to begin with. So they find out that using the spells in the scroll, it won't be as easy as they thought. You actually have to, build up in this reservoir, the spirits of 50, deceased or 50 ghosts. And that's what this guy's been doing. So now they think that the ghost he's massacred may still be alive. So they're trying to save them. And he's trying to convince Hwen to come to his side, and they can share the power together. It's been good. The art's the real standout in this. Roberto De La Torre is on art. He was on Shadow Man for a little bit. It's a really, scratchy style that works for, more of a dark or mysterious book.
That was the one with the white poster.
Yeah, it had the white poster.
Yeah, is that the art from the cover of that?
I don't know if that was Roberto.
Because that was really nice. That was a good cover.
I can show
it
you
when we're done. It had this cool, use of negative space.
Yeah, that hasn't been so much in the actual issues.
Okay.
But no, this issue had a lot of, possessions going on, and where the guy, the spirit of the killer is taking over other people's bodies, trying to, give himself a physical presence and jumping from body to body, trying to, find one that is more suited to him until he can actually, take a physical form. So this was the first time where we actually had them confronting each other. They were trying to piece together more details about his past, and then they found out he actually showed up at her house to try and get access to the scroll that they have, because there's only, I think, three copies of the scroll in existence. Huh. But it was good. It's certainly ramping up towards the conclusion. It's one of those books where you get to 3 of 4 and you have no idea how it's going to end. They seem like they definitely have a path in place, so I'm looking forward to the last issue. That's it for my books, I think.
All right. Well, we have Colin was nice enough to leave us his list of books that are coming out next week. We have All New, All Different Adventures number 6 coming out. All new, but this is the all new section of the
all
list.
New.
All New Inhumans number 4. All New X-Men number 5. Amazing Spider-Man number 1.3. Angela, Queen of Hell number 5. Back to the Future. Dave, you're still reading this one, aren't you?
I'm reading that, yeah.
It says 5 of 5, but I heard this is going to be coming
ongoing. Yeah, it's an ongoing now, yeah. So okay. It's going to...
So, that, yeah, that's what I heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Josh, Dave, you're reading this too, Bloodshot Reborn.
Yeah.
Number
yes.
11.
Yes.
Cry Havoc number 2. Daredevil number 4. Man, Dave, are reading there. Are you reading that, though? No, you're not reading that.
No, because I missed out on the first two issues.
Listen,
I
just, Ten Fingers? Oh.
Ten Fingers.
Everybody should be reading this. Dark Knight 3 Master Race number 3. Is going to be here next week. Dirk Gently, A Spoon Too Short, number 1. Faith, number 2. Josh, you're reading this one?
I am.
Fight Club 2, number 9. When's that book in? Is that the last issue?
I think that's the last issue.
That's what I was
yeah.
thinking it was
I
the
thought
last
it only
issue.
Was going until 9.
Goddamned, number 3, which I actually kind of like this book. It's just a different take on the story itself. Hellboy and the BPRD 1953 Beyond the Fences number 1. That's
kind of a long title.
It's getting with Shattered Empire. Remember
yeah.
that? Jeez.
When your subtitles have subtitles, that's
yes. a really good book. Justice League number 48 is out next week. Karnak number 2. New Avengers number 7. New previews is next week. Ringside number 4, I've really kind of liked this book.
Yeah, it's been pretty decent.
Yeah.
I believe previews orders are due on the 26th.
There you go. Saga number 34. Street Fighter X, or X G.I. Joe? I think it's supposed to be versus G.I.
Yeah,
Joe.
Yeah.
Number 1, I don't know what that's all about. Superman, The Coming of the Superman number 1, that's that Neil Adams miniseries. Mm. Winona Earp, number 1. And X-Men, Worst X-Man Ever, number 1 of 5.
Yeah.
That's what's coming
up. All about goal balls.
That's all it's about, right?
Goal balls.
That's
number
1
of 5? I thought that book already came out. Is that a second printing?
Let me just check. I lost it. It's a possibility. He's highlighted it, so I'm going to say it might not be. No, it says 1 of 5. So that's next week. Hey, Josh, where can they find us if they have to find us online?
Well,
or Colin. I mean, he's here at the store.
You can
usually,
find the store on Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics. You can go to www.pittsburghcomics.com. You can find Colin on Twitter at PGH Comics. You can email the store, Colin@pittsburghcomics.com. Am I missing anything?
Instagram. He's on Instagram. He doesn't use it too much, though.
Yeah, I don't...
He was for a little bit. He would put covers up there.
Is he at PGH Comics on Instagram?
I think
he
is.
Yeah.
I don't follow him on Instagram. You can always go to the website and click on the little Instagram button in the masthead on the website, and that'll take you right there.
And remember, send us questions, too.
Send us questions. Submit it through the webpage and ignore the error you're getting temporarily. Try to fix it. Don't forget the D&Q... trade sale. I don't know. What are the dates?
What are the dates?
I was going to say the 21st. So the 21st to the 28th, D&Q trades 25% off. And the rest of the month, the Valiant Comics trade sale, double points in all Valiant Comics trades, and the sales do stack.
Get a picture with a battle axe?
Picture of the battle axe, and entered into a drawing for some mysterious... prize package directly from Valiant.
Which I'm going to say is
going to
be pretty cool.
It's going to be our own blood squirt.
Oh.
That might not make it into the prize package there, Pat.
It's going to be a box of nanites, and Colin will become the new bloodshot.
Me and you. We'll be bloodshots.
Nanites might help Colin, you know.
Yeah, anything to help his feet. Hopefully.
Yeah. They might. That's what we're wanting nanites to help him out.
Yes.
No, once we know what it is, I will post something on the website.
Help my feet, my goodness.
Yeah. So I want some nanites. Who wants the
I'll take
some
nanites. Nanites all around.
Nanites for all. That's a good title of the podcast right
nanites
there.
Nanites for all.
There you go.
But that's everything, right?
Yeah. I think so. I think so. Anything you guys want to plug?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'll put it on a show or anything.
Where can they find you at?
Pat's going on tour with Pat's News.
Yeah.
But no, that's it from us. Hopefully
Well, Colin will be back. He'll be back. Don't worry, everybody.
We'll have some, I'm sure, some crazy stories.
Next week will be Colin's, info dump.
Which I'm going to say will be probably a longer episode, because usually when he comes on tour, he goes on tour.
That's how much he remembers from the boom bus.
Yes. Yeah. Which is nothing, probably. He'll just come in and... All right, guys. We'll catch you guys later. See ya.